ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമിശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവേശ വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വൻ മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേംസോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഠ രാധാമണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാന കി വൃന്ദാവനധാം കി മായപൂർധാം കി മധുരപുരിധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥപുരിധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Shri Shri Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shrimare Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine Narvishishesha Shunyavadi Pashyantyade Shadavine ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ലീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ ഉത്തർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷു വിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാനാസേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോ രസികാഭുവിഭാവുക സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാച്ഛുഹവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്ധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാംഗമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യാം നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു പണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമവാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാവി കാവി കാവി നാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഗുരുചരണ അരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ വ്യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാം വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരം ഭംഗം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തവത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോഗാലോദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൻ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേരീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗ്രപദൈർ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമദാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ അസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So yesterday what we were talking about was sukham, wasn't it? What sukham means. So Krishna clarifies that in that verse straight away, 36th verse. Sukham tva idanim trividham shrunume bharadarshabha abhyasa niramate yatra dukkhandam cha nigacchati. Krishna is saying there that the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all desires. That's what that sukham is all about, isn't it? Previously, Krishna has spoken about other things. Jnana, karma, karta, first. All three of them under satyam, rajasam, tamasam, under three modes. Then afterwards, first of all, jnana, karma, karta. Then Krishna spoke about the under the three modes of nature how buddhi and dhridhi works, is it not? Jnanam, karmam, karta, then buddhi and dhridhi. That's all Krishna has spoken so far, all under three modes of material nature, isn't it? Then Krishna now says to us that the everything is coming from the sukham. Sukham is the center of everything. It is from that center there is a driving force which forces us to act in a particular way, with a particular intelligence and with a particular consciousness to act. So, talking about sukham, first of all, Krishna is saying to us, this sukham is not what you think as sukham in this world.
That's the important point we talked about yesterday, is it not? Sukham is not the sukham, what we think as sukham in this world. Both in the waking state and the dream state, whatever we are experiencing, that sukham is all mixed with the... First of all, it is based on the mind and the senses. The sukham in the waking state and the dream state is based on mind and the senses. Added to that, that sukham is also mixed with the distress. It's not pure sukham. And then Krishna told us that the happiness of the deep sleep state, which is actually the true nature of the sukham, which nobody can deny. One who has little bit thoughtful power, he can understand that. Why deep sleep state, that sukham is the proper sukham. And if that sukham is brought back into the waking state and the dream state, then that is the proper self-realized state. We've seen all that. Now, Krishna is going to say from now on, the three modes of material nature under which this sukham comes, sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam, again, just like jnanam, karma, kartha, buddhi, dhriti, all these things we saw under three modes, is it not? Sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. Similarly, Krishna is again now going to say to us that sukham also comes under three modes of material nature. So, as an introduction to that, in that 36th verse, Krishna said, sukham tum idani idanim trividham, trividham, three types, shrunume bhradarshabha abhyasa dramati yatra dukhandam cha nigacchati, which we have discussed yesterday. Krishna's point is that abhyasat parijayat avrute ramate radim pradivadyate yatra yasmin sukhanubhave dukhandam cha dukhavasanam dukha upashamam nigacchati nischayena aapnodi. Krishna is saying that this sukham, by constant practice, that by constant practice of what this sukham comes, and that sukham which completely wipes out distress once for all, and always able to remain in that state of happiness. That is the nature of this sukham. And Krishna is now going to talk to us about the sukham in three modes. First of all, he is going to tell us about the sukham in the mode of goodness, sattvika sukham, sukham in the sattvika mode. Now, what we have to remember here is that even though these things are spoken in sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam, even if you have come to the sattvika stage, mode of goodness, still you have to remember that you are within the grip of maya. You have not come out yet. First, you have to come to from tamogunam to rajogunam and then to sattvagunam. But so in sattvagunam, what Krishna says is sattval sanjayate jnanam. It is possible to act properly, at least to do things properly in the sattvagunam. That means in sattvagunam it is possible to have proper knowledge, jnanam. In sattvagunam it is possible to do the karmam properly. In sattvagunam, it is possible to be a proper karta. In sattvagunam, it is possible to have proper buddhi, intelligence. And in sattvagunam, it is possible to have proper dhriti and willpower. And now Krishna is going to say to us, in sattvagunam, there is proper happiness. But in spite of all that, although even if you do everything in sattvagunam, still you are under the jurisdiction of maya. You are not out of it, still. So, that is where but first of all, coming to sattvagunam itself is a difficult thing. And then comes the question of going beyond the modes, is it not? So that we will see, Krishna will talk about that later. That first we have to understand is this, that these three modes of nature were spoken only to make us aware that you are still within the jurisdiction of maya, because sattvika, rajasa, tamasam is three modes of nature, and that is what maya means. Prakriti, it is still prakriti. Prakriti means three modes of material nature. That means sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. You have not come out of it yet. You are still in the... So, that is where we were discussing yesterday. Then, so, in that process, when it comes to sattvagunam, the mind also withdraws to some extent, and we can see there, we are thinking that mind is the instrument, but mind is not the instrument. Mind is only an instrument for knowing things from the, in relationship with the world, or that's all mind can help you. Mind can't help us any more than that. So, more than the mind, much more powerful than the mind, mind is only for knowing the objects outside in this world. That's all you can do with the mind, isn't it? But the essence of all this knowledge is Atma, is the Self inside. So once you have known the Self or realized the Self, then for him, this little thing called the mind is of no use to him. Is of no use to that person. Mind is of no use to him. So just like we say that when the sun is risen, what's the use of the moon? There's no need for the moon. So just like Jnani's mind or a realized soul, his mind is also is a thing which he doesn't need anymore. But at the same time, because inside him there is this more powerful knowledge inside, Jnana Shakti it is called, because of the powerful knowledge, and he derives his sukham from that, not from the mind or not from the senses or not from the world outside. He has gone beyond all that. He has moved away from the mind, away from the objects of this world, and away from the happiness of this world. So, it is at that time, Arjuna asked Krishna, what is this Satyika Sukham? He asked Krishna at that time, what is Satyika Sukham? So let's look at that verse. That is the next verse, 37.
Yattadagre vishamiva pariname abhrudopamam tal sukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam yattadagre vishamiva pariname amrudopamam tal sukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. That is satvika sukham. Krishna is saying, what is satvika sukham means? Yatad agre visham ivam pariname amrudopamam tal sukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. First definition of satvika sukham, Krishna says here, That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mood of goodness. So, slowly, by studying this Sattvika Sukham, you can understand that it is not from this world. It is not coming from this world. It has to come from the Self. So, there, Yal Sal Sukham Agre Prathama Sannibhade Jnana Vairagya Samadhi Arambe Atyanda Ayasa Purvagatva Dvisham Iva Dukhalpagam Bhavadi Pariname Jnana Vairagya Adi Parinamajam Sukham Amrata Upamam. So, this Sukham of Satyika Sukham is that due to when you practice it in the beginning, when that sukham comes, which comes from three things, jnanam, vairagyam, bhakti. Bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, and samadhi state in that, which follows from there. So, initially, it's not very tasty. It's very distasteful. What bhakti? What jnanam? What vairagyam we say? We enjoy our senses, isn't it? So, when we move away from the sensual world, to the world of transcendence, Krishna is saying that initially, because it's difficult in the beginning, just like you can see, people are negotiating how many rounds we should chant. They want to negotiate, isn't it? Why 16? Why not less? Is one enough? One round? We ask all these questions. Why? There's no taste. Struggling to chant. Even little sadhana, we are struggling to do it. So initially it is very distasteful. Spiritual life is very distasteful. Nobody likes it, spiritual life. Instead, if you say to him, enjoy something, go out, go here, go there, or traveling somewhere, or having a
entertainment, something different, a festival, they're all interested. But when it comes to austerities and penances and sadhana, it's not very pleasant. We don't want it. So that's why Krishna is saying here, initially it is very distasteful. But when it ends up in proper knowledge and renunciation, it is as good as nectar. That's the difference of this knowledge. Tat sukham satyam proktam vidvadbhi almano buddhihi alma buddhihi alma buddhe prasado nairmalyam salilavat swachada tato jadam alma buddhi prasadajam alma vidyayava alma alambanava buddhihi alma buddhihi tal prasada prakrashadva jadam iti eda tasmat satyam tat. Krishna says that this satya sukham is comes from clear water, like clear water, when the mind and the intelligence becomes very pleasant. That means there is no complications there. Everything is very pure inside the heart, inside the mind. There is not a lot of chittavritti. And also, in buddhi you have already accepted satvika buddhi, which means that you are fixed upon the process of self-realization. If all that has happened, Krishna is saying here that through the knowledge, adhyalpa vidya, through self-realization process or cultivating spiritual knowledge, and from that knowledge a happiness comes, and that is satyam. That is satyam. So that is how Krishna begins this satya sukham. For example, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, and always being disciplined in life, and living within the framework of dharma, within the framework of religious principles, and in executing the sadhana, spiritual sadhana, nobody likes all these things. People want freedom, isn't it? They don't want any restrictions in life. Unlimited freedom, unlimited sense enjoyment, and freedom to do what they want to do. Society rules like that. Society says, you can do whatever you like, but don't bother me. I won't bother you, don't bother me. You do what you like, I'll do what I like. And they consider this as freedom. Krishna is saying that is not freedom. Freedom means that controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and to remain within the framework of religious principles, in a disciplined way living, and executing the bhakti sadhana of chanting the holy name and deity worship and all other things, and all these things, if one is doing that, that is what will help him to advance in the path of spiritual life. Not this unlimited freedom to do what they like. Because, Krishna says, these things, therefore, because it requires certain discipline, isn't it? You have to be disciplined yourself to live that life, waking up at a particular time every day, and following a procedure in the morning, spending certain amount of time in the morning for self-realization, and keeping always being focused on spiritual life, that requires certain discipline inside. Otherwise it's not possible. And those, if you observe those people who are doing that, you will see this in them, how fixed they are in their life, that they have to be like that. That is what, and there is a happiness that comes from that. But if anything is imposed on somebody, these things, one who has not taken to that process, initially he will struggle with it very much. Because it's from mind, mind will keep telling him, why do I have to accept all these things? What's the benefit from this? Spiritual discipline, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. So this you can see, that because once you have taken to spiritual life, then there is a lot of restrictions in your life. You have to put somewhere some control on your socializing life. You have to put some control on your eating habits, sleeping habits, association with others. All these things, restrictions comes. And that restrictions, people don't want it. That is why it is poisonous, Krishna is saying here. Therefore, he's saying here, isn't it? Yatad agre visham iva. Beginning time it is all poisonous. Nobody wants it. Yatad agre visham iva. Pariname amrutopamam. Only when you start experiencing spiritual life, then it becomes a little bit different. There is a nectar stage. So this is a simple principle. This is from this principle they say that often you can see when the children are brought up that they have been disciplined properly in the life to some extent, proper discipline, and they are brought up. They may not have liked it at that time when they were brought up as children in that way. And that those who are brought up like that, but when they grow up and they feel grateful to the parents for those who have done that to them. Those children who are brought up with the discipline when they were young, when they were small, when they grow up, they feel their gratitude to the parents for the imposing that discipline on them. So, normally the children will always want some gratification. They will say to us that, oh, you're not letting me go here, you're not getting me go there, these things, cinemas and clubs and all these things, isn't it? But inside them, they will feel a certain degree of happiness for being controlled in their childhood. Because they themselves on their own are not able to control. It is in that situation, parents are imposing this on them. An external force comes to them and controls their sense gratification favorably for them. So therefore, even at that moment, it may look as though they don't want it. Later years, you will find in them a certain devotion in them towards the parents because of that. Because in the childhood, you have helped them to become a little bit controlled in their life. Whereas you will see parents who have continuously supplied sense gratification to the children from the early days, throughout life, it is those children who turn their back at the end, later on. They'll show their back to them. So the only reason for that, Krishna is also explaining that here, that normally you would have thought, a parents who are buying everything for the children should be very pleased with them, because parents have given them all love and affection and all the toys, what they wanted, all the sense gratification, what they wanted. But Jiva, who is inside, when he comes here to this world, at that time, the Jiva is thinking, is there any way of me getting released from here? Internally, every Jiva wants to get released from here, from this world. Nobody wants to stay here and suffer. So, strictly speaking, before the Jiva comes here, Jiva's thoughts is always how to escape from here. But unfortunately, because of the vasanas inside, it is dragging him to the world, to enjoy the world. So if at that time you also help that Jiva, particular Jiva, whoever it may be, again if you help him to drag him more into this material nature, to enjoy the material nature, is there any wonder that they get upset with you later? Because you didn't help them when they wanted their help. When they were small, when they didn't have that discriminative power, if the parents had to help them at that time, not to show them the right path, not to get driven by the modes of nature or sense gratification, if you have helped that from external forces required at that time, internally they have not developed themselves to make that discrimination. It is those children who were given that support by the parents who show more gratitude to the parents when they get older. Whereas the small other ones, for whom you have given all kinds of happiness in the form of sense enjoyment, thinking that it will make them happy, they are the ones when they grow up who will turn against the parents. That's a very important principle, because that verse is driving it. Yatad agre vishamiva pariname amrudomamam tal sukham satvijam proktam alpa buddhi prasadajam. This verse is an indication of that, this simple principle of life. So here Krishna says that a person who doesn't have eyes, you are pushing him into a well to fall there. Similarly, that is what we are doing. That young little boy or girl who doesn't know anything about in this world, we are only actually pushing him in this world to the well. To enjoy, go and enjoy. A lot of parents do that. They think that is their parenthood. Parenthood is supplying everything what's necessary for the children to satisfy their senses. So therefore what happens? When they grow up, what they have used to, they think they didn't get their help what they wanted at the time when they wanted, so they become against that. So Krishna says here, even though it may appear as though a little bit poisonous in the beginning, all this Dharma Shastram is very favorable for that, because whatever law they have put on in their law books, and we will always look, we will read the law and we will always look for an opportunity to break the law. That's what people will look for, is it not? They don't want the laws. They want to, is there any way of breaking the law? And you can see here that some people sometimes they study the Shastram and after that they say that what is the necessity for me to follow all these rules and regulations, they say. I understood the truth, what is written in the book. They understood that. Then they start saying, oh, there is no need to follow Ekadashi. There is no need to follow chant Hare Krishna. Or there is no need to go to the temples. There is no need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I have understood everything, I have read everything. So, and they make their daily life completely in a indisciplined way. No proper regulated life. No regulated life. That's what happens. So, and in order to do that, intelligence will give them some logic for not doing it. So, therefore habits becomes bad. Habits changes. Eating things which should not be eaten, eating at the wrong time, and all these habits builds up. So Krishna is saying here that rishis have given us a certain way of life to live in a particularly disciplined way. And even if you can't follow that completely, at least not to deny it. Their right situation. They have given us, out of affection for the human society, that they have told us that live in this disciplined way. If you do that, it will help you in your spiritual progress. So they have given us with that intention. We may not be able to live 100% up to that mark due to our own weaknesses. That is what can be done. That's our weakness. But at least not to criticize them for what they have spoken in the Shastram, what they have given us. Like waking up in the morning, early hours in the morning, and keeping oneself clean inside, outside, chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, engaging in deity worship, restricted with eating habits, prasadam, and offering prasadam before taking prasadam, offering it to Krishna. Like these certain ways, rishis have given us certain discipline. That discipline, instead of saying, why do we need all these things, all a waste of time, and start doing in your own way, that is not a good thing. That's what Krishna is saying here also, that even if you can't do it, because that's our weakness, but at least because the rishis have spoken that, we should accept it without questioning them. And that is the secret all the great souls have followed. They are telling us the secret of life, secret of spiritual life. So, only thing is, if we follow all that, it will strengthen us. It will give some strength to us. And it will become favorable to us in our spiritual path. Only one thing you have to ask this question. By following all these regulations and rules, am I getting strength or control over my senses and the mind? That's the important question you have to ask. If it is helping you for control of mind and senses, you should remain within that framework. You should remain within that framework. So that is the principle. Not that question everything and throw it away. That is very easy. And then it's very, very difficult. Because without any discipline in life, it is not possible to make any progress in any spiritual path. It's not possible. So, what Krishna is saying here, if their intelligence is infected with Rajogunam, suppose there is a lot of Rajasagunam, Rajasic nature in the intelligence, then it will always be looking for freedom. It is coming from that. Why we want freedom, why we don't want discipline, is because there is Rajogunam in the intelligence. And if it is, there is plenty of Rajogunam there, then you will change the law, change the principles. So what it is doing is, even if your happiness is concerned in this world, they are putting a boundary there. That is what all the Shastram, all the rules and regulations, Vedam, all these things are doing that. So this yoga system, all yoga processes, not to forget about bhakti process, bhakti, jnanam, karmam, all yoga processes, initially it is like a poison. But Krishna says, parinami amrudopamam. Later on it will become like nectar. So once the mind and senses have come under control, and if it has developed that habit of inward looking, and if you manage to keep it under that control, not by one stroke, but while remaining within the framework of dharma, religious principles, and then that will help. You should not go extreme limits to do things for a few days and then get into trouble. There is a way of doing that, how to keep oneself in a disciplined life. There is a way of doing that, how Krishna has instituted that in the Shastram. If instead of doing that, if you start doing the way you like it, because some people you can see, they will suddenly take to some severe austerities, very heavy austerities, and they will force themselves to do it. If you do like that, what will happen is, it will become asuric, demoniac. It will become demoniac. Just like Ravana did that. Hiranyakashipu did that, isn't it? They were also doing austerities and penances, but the only thing is, it was asuric nature. Hiranyakashipu decided that he wanted to get the power from Brahma. So he decided to go and perform penances for 100,000 years in the forest. He was capable of doing that. That is not what Krishna is talking about here. So, and if you do like that, it will come out in a very powerful way. It will come out in a powerful way. Often you can see this with, sometimes with this tendency in many people, even in devotees. Suddenly they'll take to some very heavy austerities, and that won't last very long for some time. But there is no proper understanding inside. So Shastram is telling us, live in a particular way so that it's forever, not for short period of time. Forever, live in that way. So that is why Krishna is going to say that in all these things, while performing austerities and penances in life, the authority is Shastram. Krishna is very particular about that. Authority is Shastram. Not that a particular person has spoken or somebody else has given. If you look into the 16th chapter, we discussed this before. Tasmal Shastram Pramanante. Remember that? 16:24. At the end of that chapter, Krishna mentions there. Tasmal Shastram Pramanante. Karya Karya Vyavasthito. Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam. Karma Kartam Iharhasi. That verse. 16:24. Tasmal Shastram Pramanande. Nobody else is authority. Krishna is saying, Shastram is the authority. And we have got to follow Shastram. Not to do things based on our mind. We should not do that. Whereas Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they were not following Shastram. They, because of their determination, Hiranyakashipu wanted this benediction from Brahma not to get killed. Is it not? And therefore he decided to please Brahma based on his own mind and strength of the determination of his mind. Therefore he decided to go to the forest, and his severe austerity is what he performed in the forest, which you have read in the Bhagavatam, that he sat there and all around the anthill was built up around him. All those things are not authorized by Shastram. So therefore he says, Tasma Shastram Pramanande Karya Karya Vyavasthito Nyatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartam Iharkasi. Krishna has spoken that, is it not? So, Shastram has spoken, and that is what we have to follow. If you stay within that framework of the Shastram, you may find a little difficult in the beginning. But you may start thinking, oh, I don't have the same freedom like others who have got so much freedom. They are doing what they like. And they are wandering around freely in this world doing what they like. and I don't have that freedom. You may start thinking like that. So, but at the end, you will know that this Shastram and its framework, what it has put on us, that was our greatest blessing. That was our greatest blessing. That you will realize much later, not now. Much later, you will realize it in your own life, that framework, what Shastram has put on us, to control our life, to keep us in a disciplined way of life, how much it has protected you from getting destroyed by the material energy, from getting completely spoiled by the world, isn't it? So that is what the important point here. Etad agre vishamiva pariname amrudomamam tal sukham satyam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. So because this boundary wall which Shastram has built around us, therefore a lot of us have actually escaped from this world, is it not? Those who don't have the boundary, you can see their life outside, what kind of life they lead. Because Shastram has told us certain things, and we have accepted that, and the boundary, what the Shastram has put around us, restricts us from living a free life like the way they live. Therefore, Shastram has protected us, is it not? Shastram has protected us. Otherwise, imagine the life of so many other people in this world who doesn't have that control from the Shastram. That is what he says there. Pariname amurdobamam. Yathad agre vishamiva. Pariname amurdobamam. Tal sukam satiyam proktam. So that happiness, Krishna says, this control that's been put on our life by the Shastram, that will bring some happiness, and that happiness at the end it will become satyagam. Tukaram mentions this in his Abhang. He says that because they started developing the taste of bhakti rasam, so they are saying here that satyaga sukham, happiness, satyaga sukham, is in the beginning is poison, but at the end it is like nectar. And he says there that bhakti is even better than that, because he says bhakti from the very beginning itself is like nectar. Very beginning itself is like nectar. Amula hridyam. It is mentioned in the Bhagavadam also, mentioned about this bhakti. Talking about bhakti's glory, he says there that from amula hridyam, avyaktam margayanda shrutibirabhinaye kevala jnana lubdhaham klishyande diva siddhim bahudara janushamandame vapnuvandhi durastha karma yogo bijavarama bhale anvayam bhakti yogam amula deva hridyam sturidamai bhavel prapako vardhadame. This is a summary of the Bhagavadam verses. Bhagavadam, in many verses, it is spoken about the glory of bhakti. Bhakti, from the very beginning itself, it is hridyam. It is very pleasing to the mind and the heart. Bhakti is very pleasing to the mind from the very beginning itself. Whereas, this is Tukaram's words also, he says there, that bhakti has got this special nature, from the very beginning it is very pleasing. Like kirtanam, chanting, dancing, feasting, all things. Avyaktam margayandam shrutivirabhinayai kevala jnana lubdhaha. Jnana margam is very, very, very difficult in the beginning. It's very, very difficult, is it not? Jnana margam is very, very difficult. Klishyande adiva siddhim bahudara janusham mandame vapnuvandim. And to become some perfection in jnana margam, bahudara janusham mandame vapnuvandim, that how long it will take, it is very difficult to say in the jnana margam. Because jnana margam is avyaktam. we are not clear where it is going. When you practice this process of Jnana Margam, Avyaktam Margayanda, Shrudhbir Abhinayai Kevala Jnana Lubdhaha, that Kevala Jnanam takes time to come to that state, is it not? Because of our vasanas inside and avidya inside, it takes a long time to get released from all that. Klishyande adiva siddhim bahudara janusham andame vapnu vandi. And the struggle in the beginning in this jnana margam also is very, very torturing. We don't know where we are going. You will try for a few days and then you will start saying, it's not working, you will give up. Klishyande diva siddhim bahudara janusham andame vapnu vandi. That is like with the jnana margam. Now going to karma margam. Durastha karma yogo bija parama bhale. Karma yogam you have to execute for a long, long time. Parama bhale anvayam bhakti yogam. Durastha karma yogo bija parama bhale. That result of karma yogam, that will take time to happen, the result to come. Anvayam bhakti yogam amula deva hridya sturidamai bhaval prapago vardhadame. Whereas if you come to the process of bhakti yogam, you will notice that from the very beginning it is very pleasing to the person. It's very pleasing to the person. In fact, these are verses from the Bhagavatam where comparison between jnana margam, karma margam and bhakti margam is spoken in Bhagavatam. It is one of the from there that this verses has come about. So here also Krishna is saying here, because we don't have that power, when you start withdrawing from the yoga process, because you don't have the strength to continue with it. We know how much determination we have in spiritual life, isn't it? For a few days or a few months, after that we become slackened. We become slackened. So, when we withdraw from there, when you are not able to execute the spiritual life properly, when you withdraw from that, and then you feel heated up inside, feel heated up inside. So, suppose you say that you restrict yourself from the activities in the world outside, immediately you feel some kind of uneasiness inside, is it not? To withdraw from karma, very difficult. Withdraw from karma is difficult. Some karma is necessary. And when you withdraw from there, inside it heats up. That restlessness comes from that. So, if voluntarily, if you accept spiritual life, voluntarily if you accept that, then you won't feel it in that way, if you voluntarily accept it. But if something is forced upon us, then it causes problems. It causes problems. If somebody from outside controls our life, then we don't like it. We don't like it, isn't it? So, that is what Krishna is saying, that initially you will feel that restrictions that is imposed upon us by Shastram and by the authorities, not very pleasing at that time. And then you feel a little agitated inside. It heats up inside. But later on, after you have accepted that and you have lived that life for some time, you feel a little happiness from that. Why? It has helped you to become disciplined in life. That is what he is saying here. Etad agre visham iva pariname amrudopamam and tal sukham satyam proktam almabuddhi prasadajam. Almabuddhi prasadajam. So, even though like poison, in the beginning it may be very troublesome, later on amrudopamam, Krishna is saying, that because what happens then, amrudopamam means what? Jnanam and vairagyam builds up inside. That is the benefit. When jnanam and vairagyam is building up inside, it will become like nectar. Spiritual life is like that. Initially we don't know anything, isn't it? We don't know what spiritual life means. We don't know what soul means. It is at that time you begin your spiritual life. At that time some restrictions are put on us and you have been told to live in a particular way. Food habits, eating habits, sleeping habits, everything restricted. At that time it's like a poison. But after following the rules and regulations, after a while, because of that disciplined life, a certain amount of knowledge and renunciation builds up in a person. Little by little, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, by becoming a little bit more enthusiastic and inquisitive about to know about spiritual life, you started developing a certain understanding of spiritual life. And from that knowledge, and it also makes you feel that you don't need a lot of things in this world to live here. So certain degree of detachment comes, vairagyam comes. So when jnanam and vairagyam comes up in life, due to its maturity, that happiness what you are experiencing, it becomes like a nectar. It becomes like nectar. And to protect that, with vairagyam, you have to build a wall all around. That jnanam, to protect that jnanam and bhakti, one has to build a wall of vairagyam around. We will see that in the Bhagavatam when we come to the next 2 weeks. When we discuss, that's where vairagyam story is spoken. Krishna is saying this with the example of Pururava's story, Ailagidam. It's all about vairagyam's necessity of vairagyam. Without vairagyam, it will not happen. Whether it is jnanam or whether it is bhakti, in order to protect what we have to build this wall of vairagyam around. Otherwise, it will not work. And to protect that. That is what Krishna is saying there. That yogi who has developed jnanam and bhakti and is protecting his jnanam and bhakti through this wall of vairagyam, it is that happiness is what Krishna is saying here. Pariname amrutopamam. It is like nectar at the end. Because if sukham is coming and going, if you get that happiness, that is not proper, because when it comes you will feel happy, when it goes away you will feel distressed. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? They say that, oh, today I was feeling very good, but the next day you are feeling awful. That is not spiritual life. That is based on the mind. Mind is playing its game. One day makes you feel happy, next day you feel awful. But that's not spiritual life. Spiritual life, what Krishna is saying here is that proper following that disciplined life, executing spiritual sadhana, with the result of that, that is a certain degree of knowledge and bhakti, jnanam, has developed inside the heart. And you are protecting that with vairagyam, the compound wall around that of vairagyam. In which case, this bhakti jnanam inside will start revealing its happiness from within, and that is not something is not meant to be lost. So that is what you say there, that sometimes you can see if a child is born, everybody is happy. If a man or girl dies, then everybody becomes unhappy, isn't it? So this is not proper situation. Whatever happens in life, completely to be able to live in this world unaffected by that, that is bhakti. Bhakti means that, to live in this world unaffected by what's going on outside. Otherwise, where is bhakti? If we also get affected by everything what's going on in life, just like a death happens at home, then you feel miserable, and then somebody is born in a few days, a grandchild is born, everybody feeling happy about it. So what's it? Or a death happens, somebody dies at home, you feel miserable, and in a few days the marriage happens and everybody back again happy. All the time you can see this. Somebody dies at home, then for a few days you have a meeting, everybody come together, kirtan together, everybody in a very distressed mood. Oh, what a thing has happened, he left us, went away, that happened, this happened. Everybody is lamenting and condolences. We give them the card for condolences and or expressing our grief and all that, join them, visit them. The same people who have done that, after 4 weeks there is a marriage, we all go with their presents and for the feast and dancing there. What is it? Is this spiritual life? This always, you can notice this in many people's life. This happens. So then you start realizing, bhakti is not like that. Bhakti jnanam, Krishna, that is what Krishna is saying here. That if it is not staying, the same state, when distress comes, as well as the happiness comes, unaffected by that, able to remain aloof from that. So, so this state, this chanchalam state, chanchalam means always this, what do you say? Flickering, yeah. Flickering state, that must go. Flickering state must go. And that has to go, and able to be in that state of shanti in all circumstances. And that is required. That is chanchalam. Krishna, Arjuna also said the same thing to Krishna, isn't it? So, not that, oh, what will I get outside, and just like a dog wandering around everywhere, where can I find something to get something to eat? Like the dog, similarly, every day looking for some happiness. If I go to this marriage, I'll get a feast. If I go to that marriage, I'll get another feast. And planning everything in that way. And living like that, that's not a very good way of life. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, parinamam amrutopamam. Therefore, this happiness is not like that, he says. Krishna is saying that. Parinamam amrutopamam. Because this happiness is coming from knowledge. Jnanam, coming from the knowledge. And that is that, what Krishna says, as sattvika sukham. Sukham, that is come from sattvika nature. So, alpa jnanam, knowledge of the self, and self-realization. And when you start realizing that your own identity is alma and not this body, there is a shanti that comes from inside. That will only come through reflection and practicing spiritual sadhana. Otherwise, it won't happen. It will come from inside. And that is what you will notice in the people who are following that strictly. Disciplined life and following strictly the rules and regulations of the Shastram, continuously engaged in the spiritual sadhana, executing, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and similarly with the rules what the Shastram has spoken. And if one follows all that and keep that vairagyam around, it will protect and give a certain shanti inside. And there is a certain happiness that comes from that. Krishna says, that is sattvikam. That is sattvikam. So, experiencing that happiness from the sattvika sukham, shanti from inside, we should be able to live in this world. We should be able to live in this world. So, when you do that, what will happen is, this power of discrimination what we have inside, that power of discrimination everybody has, once you have come to this stage, you will have a certain power of discrimination, is it not? That power of discrimination will start comparing between the two. The happiness that is coming from the soul, from spiritual life, and the happiness that's coming from the material life. You will start comparing that yourself. And you will come to the conclusion that you can't afford to lose this happiness that's coming from spiritual life. Whereas, you can afford to lose that happiness that comes from the material life. All this happens in the case of everybody. When you are following in the sadhana process in this world, and as you get many years passing through that way, in that process, all this comparison business goes on inside everybody. They keep comparing that all the time. So then you will start realizing that how this word what Krishna has spoken is true. Why? What did Krishna say? Krishna is saying, yatad agre vishamiva pariname amrutopamam. You start experiencing that happiness which comes from the self, and you start registering and acknowledging that and saying that this happiness I prefer. What shanti, peace of mind or whatever we call it, that shanti or sukham that comes from the self, I cannot afford to lose it. I like to have it. I want to hold on to that. Instead, I can even afford to sacrifice that happiness which I am receiving from the world outside. From the world outside. That is what he is saying. Parināme amrutopamam tal sukham sattvikam proktam alma buddhi prasadajam. See that word? Atmabuddhi prasadajam. Atmabuddhi prasadam comes. That is prasadam. Atmabuddhi prasadajam. That buddhi from Atma, buddhi linked with Atma, that is prasadajam. Krishna says there that Atmabuddhi prasadajam. He says buddhi of intelligence prasadajam, born of satisfaction. That is what satisfaction is, nothing but this. That proper shanti that comes from Atma. It is a trickle, or it's a trickle happiness of what you experience in the Sushupti, what you are experiencing then. It's a very, very small ray of that happiness, what we experience in the Sushupti state, slowly started trickling down to awakened state. That is when you get that. So when you start getting that, you start realizing that this happiness that's coming from the Atma can never be compared with the happiness that will come from the socializing or from the world outside. That will become, and that is when a person who is executing sadhana, he becomes totally indifferent to the world. He doesn't want to deal with it anymore. He finds it least attractive outside life. So so you can compare that with many, many things. Often many things of sense gratification in this world, shanti or happiness what you derive from senses or from the world, that's so temporary. As soon as it's over, it's gone. Say, a sports event or even a TV, a show on the TV, whatever one is attracted by. And it may appear as though you're enjoying all that thing. But that happiness what you get from there can never be compared with the shanti, what you come from, what you get from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or from chanting the holy name, or any spiritual activity for that matter. It can never be compared. So so even you may engage in topics of material life in discussions, you may talk about it, but still, if you have experienced a little bit of that shanti from spiritual life, inside your mind, this comparison will always be there. You will always compare it that way. And you will start saying that there is another dimension to happiness than what you have so far understood as happiness in this world. Today we have all false understanding, completely in Maya. Maya's way of engaging us. Maya puts us so many things in front of us and tells us to enjoy. And we start thinking there's enjoyment here, enjoyment there. And finally, when the happiness that comes from the soul, and you start comparing that with the happiness from Maya, then you start understanding that this happiness from the Maya is no way anywhere closer to that shanti, what you have experienced from the self. So, and when that comparison begins between the happiness of the soul and the happiness from the material life, when that comparison begins, there will be a lot of lamentation. How is that lamentation? You will start thinking, I am receiving all the shanti from inside, from Atma, and in spite of that, I am stuck in this material life. Material life, isn't it? And when that becomes stronger inside, vairagyam will come. Vairagyam will come. So, because little by little, that power of discrimination will spit out all the material life, will spit it out. You won't find any attraction afterwards. No matter anybody offers you anything, any kind of happiness, that is where, that stage is a difficult stage, because you may have to, at that point in time, you will have a difficulty with your society where you are connected with. Because society will expect so many things from you. They have not followed you. You have left them. Because you have left them and they have not followed you, they are still expecting from you the same kind of social commitments. And it is at that time all the problems starts coming. But you will have enough strength inside to spit that out when it is necessary. And you can see here that at that point you will say yourself, you will say to yourself, I have seen all that happiness, how much happiness it brings to me in my life, isn't it? So, keeping that situation in life and keeping that sukham inside, and at the same time, prarabdham has not gone away. It is still there. And you are still within the prarabdham, isn't it? Prarabdham is still there. But prarabdham, as much as prarabdham gets destroyed, because as you keep on living in this world with this consciousness that the happiness is in spiritual life, and you are engaged in spiritual life in a proper way, disciplined way, curtailing all your activities in the world and withdrawing from the world, one by one you have thrown away all the happiness of this world, keeping that shanti or peace inside, and at the same time your prarabdham is getting diminished. Because while living in this world, what is our life? Life is nothing but wiping out the prarabdham. Life is nothing but wiping out the prarabdham. Prarabdham, when we have come with this particular body, a certain amount of prarabdham, this is called prarabdha shariram. This body is called prarabdham. This body will run out one day, prarabdham. So what is happening now? Inside, because you have a little bit of experience of the spiritual life, and that shanti or peace, what you are experiencing inside, which comes from Atma, that shanti. Therefore, you start, once you got a little bit taste for that, you are in a position to reject that happiness from the material world. And it will start spitting out everything one after the other. Initially, relationship with the family members, relationship with the society, friends, everything will go one day or the other, because there is no meaning to all those things. You had some friends when you were small at school. When you went to college, you had another set of friends. When your grown-up start working, you had another set of friends. Then when you become more progressed in your family life, you had another set of friends. Who is your friend out of all this? A lot of people have come and gone, come and gone, come and gone in life. And you will start seeing the complete futility of all the so-called relationships. It's all Maya's different ways. And you become more, little bit more fixed in the relationship with Krishna, relationship with the Self, with Atma, and the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. When that is bringing up, burning inside, you will automatically feel the necessity that something, this is a serious business. You want to withdraw from the world. And all that, it is at that time, friends will also say goodbye and go. They won't be there anymore. They will also go. And your so-called family members also won't show much of an interest after that. And that relationship is over. That means, in prarabdham, their connection with you is also over. That's what it means. That prarabdham was there to keep them together, so-called family members. But if the prarabdham has run out, you will see how it breaks up at that point. That will also go in their way. After that, you don't have to settle any account with them, at least. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That the one by one, you will see these things happening in your own spiritual life. So, ultimately, Krishna is saying here, abhyasa, if you remember, last words, if you look, abhyasa dramate yatra dukkhandam janigachari, that stage will come. Abhyasa dramate yatra, we discussed that yesterday. Abhyasa dramate yatra dukkhandam janigachari. These are all the practices, abhyasam. That abhyasam happens, that that happiness will finally take him to the proper state of proper happiness, to the state of proper sukham, without any dukkham afterwards. If you have started experiencing spiritual life, happiness from spiritual life, then there will not be any more distress. Distress cannot touch you anymore. Dukkhandam cha nigacchati, Krishna is saying. This dukkham is like that, very nature of dukkham. We have analyzed it so many times, isn't it? Today, say somebody very close to you left, died and left the body and gone away. You will cry and you feel very depressed about it and think what's going to happen in life, this, that and the other. After 6 months, if you ask him, can you cry like the way you were crying that day? He says, oh no, that's just dead and gone, what am I supposed to do? He'll sit and watch another television program happily and enjoying that program very well. So this is what it all means, isn't it? So, so it is at that point he realizes that
proper shanti or sukham that comes from the soul is different than the sukham that comes from the world. Sukham that comes from the world is always mixed with dukham. It has to be mixed with dukham. So, just like in the shops, when you go shopping, as you know very well, that when you buy something there, they'll give you something free with that. So that you'll come again. You get tired of that, keeping an account of all these things, the count of things they give you free. If you buy, everybody does that, I think, now. Sainsbury's and Tesco's and Asda, everywhere. You buy £40, they'll give you a voucher for next shopping, so that you come again and you save another £5 or £10, something like that, isn't it? And they're so clever, they know what you are buying. And then they will... You wonder about what people are busy with in this world, isn't it? Is there any wonder people are at work 24 hours in the world like this? They'll find out what all items you are buying, and they will send you a coupon for the particular number of points for that particular item what you have bought. They're so much conscious of what you are buying. You think that you've finished your shopping, haven't you? No, it's not finished. That vasana has gone all the way to somewhere else in Glasgow or somewhere else where their head office is working. They're calculating there all the items what you have bought and concession on the points on that and this, that, and it comes by post later with you. This year it's for you that to save, you show all this. This is the kind of life. What kind of life is this? Instead of taking that money off when you buy the things, they will make it in such a way that you will come again and shop there. There's so many things about this consumerism, what goes on, how it hooks people up, how to force you to buy things and get absorbed in this buying business all the time. So, that is what it is, that when you go shopping, this, when you do shopping, this free thing that causes all the problem. The things what you buy is not the problem, because Maya is just like this, gives there some sweet rice, isn't it? Like the sweet rice it gives. And when you ate that sweet rice in a, say, silver pot, it was very, very nice. But suppose you put some poison into it, it loses all the taste. Even if the... And similarly, everything in this world is like that. Sukham, 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 we say. And once it goes inside, only then you know that the after effect of that is poison. After effect of that is poison. Everything is like that. That they will put all... You can see how these people do all these things, how they tie you down with their... You will get a voucher, say you did shopping for £50, and they'll give you a voucher for £10. But then that £10 you have to spend in the next 10 days or so. They'll put a date on that, 5-6 vouchers with dates on that. So they will... And then you start thinking, oh, if I don't buy and spend another £40 or £50 in the next 10 days, I lose that advantage. Like this is all. And you know why this example important? Because that is the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why. You think Krishna didn't know all these things? The one who has created us knows us better than with that we will do all these things. Therefore, Krishna has put that in the next verse. That anything, it is not happiness, he said. That it makes you feel good. That you did some happening, you saved £10 on that. Next time again you are saving £10. Again next week after that saving another £10. Whole life is saving, saving, saving. Wherever you walk in, you say, you save. You save so much. You save. Everywhere you are saving. What a nonsense. Imagine that. And where is this coming from? Rajasam. That is Rajasam. It's not Satyam. Look at the next verse. Vishayendriya samyogal. Yatadagre amrudobamam pariname vishamivam tal sukham raja samspradam vishayendriya samyoga yatadagre amrudobamam pariname vishamivam tal sukham raja samspradam. Look at between the last verse and this verse, how it is exactly opposite.
The last verse is saying, initially it is like poison, but later on it is happiness. This one, Krishna is saying, initially it is happy, amrutam it is, but later on it is poison. How? Consumerism is like that, isn't it? They give you all these things, vouchers, and then you don't need anything. This is the situation you end up with. You don't need anything, but then the voucher is there. So you will go and buy something which you actually don't need. It happens to all the people. That is, and there will be hundreds of products. If you ask somebody, oh, you need everything that is in the Tesco to live in this world. There's nothing. And they have manufactured all sorts of goods to induce people to buy, somehow or the other. And that is Rajasam. You see there? Krishna says, and when you buy, you feel, oh, I have saved and I have got something new as well in my life. So, etad agri amrudopamam. In the beginning it is like nectar. After a few days, there is no space in the house to keep it anywhere. Then, blue bin, brown bin or green bin, boom, gone, finished, gone. Etad agri amrudopamam pariname vishamiva. Whereas the last one, pariname amrudopamam etad agre vishamiva. Exactly opposite. You see that? Rajasam and Satyam, this clear understanding is necessary because we are all victims of this. We are all victims of this, is it not? Then how we are constantly bombarded with this. Way of living in the society made our life hell for many people. If they say that by this they are creating jobs, there was recently, when they brought this, I think it was from the Apple company, they brought this i5S or something. Yeah. There were 3,000 people queuing up to get that phone, and in the street for 3 days queuing up, because the day it was released they had to buy it. So this BBC man is going and interviewing them. Some of them, if you see the reply they were giving at that time, can you imagine, there are such stupid and idiots in this world. That's all I can say about that, the kind of answers they give. One of them says, so the BBC man is asking, why are you buying this? He says, so it's a different color. So he says to him, is there something that, it's only because of the color you are buying it? He says, yes, because it's a different color. Which one you want has come. And they say that this next one, phone, is not much different than the previous series. It's more or less it's the same thing, but with little, you know, like they tweak here and there, did something to make it attractive. But people are thinking that if they don't go along with it, they are falling behind in their status. So this is all that Rajasam inside. Vishaya Indriya Samyoga, where did that come from? Due to connection with the senses and sense objects. Yattat sukham jayate and agre pradhamakshane amrudopamam amrudasamam pariname visham iva bela virya rupa pratya medha mana ulsaha hani hedutval adharmada janita naragadi hedutval cha pariname tad ubhaboga parinamandi ubhabogam. Ubhaboga means consumerism. Ubhavoga means consumerism. Ubhavoga parinamande visham iva tal sukham rajasam smritam. Rajasam smritam. So, all this rajasa sukham you will notice, it is coming from contact of the senses and the sense objects. Is it not? Senses and the sense objects. And because of that contact with the senses and sense objects, that happiness will give you, that sukham will give you in the beginning some happiness, but later on it will turn out to be like poison. So one's strength, energy, rupam, form, prajna, the consciousness, metha shakti, enthusiasm, all these things will be affected by this rajasam. This rajasa sukham, and that kind of happiness is rajasam. For example, this rajasik sukham, it will affect all the other things as well. Rajasik sukham. Like Satya Sukham affects all the Satya side, isn't it? All your Buddhi, Dhridhi, Karmam, Jnanam, Karta, everything is affected by Satyam. If you are Satya Sukham, if you have Satya Sukham, that means that Satya Sukham will influence all other things as well. Which one? Jnanam, Karmam, Karta, and Buddhi, Dhridhi, everything will be affected by that, by Satya Sukham. Equally, if you have that Rajasa Sukham inside, that Rajasa Sukham will definitely influence your Jnanam, Karmam, Karta, all other things as well, or his strength, Prajna, Medha Shakti, enthusiasm, everything will be affected by that. So, in order that Rajasa Sukham to happen, senses are required, sense objects are required. Both are required, isn't it? So, and sense objects are not always available. Sometimes it's available, sometimes it's not available. And senses are not always strong enough to enjoy. Everybody, when they get older, a lot of senses becomes weak, is it not? And then you are forced to give up sense gratification. That's what Krishna is saying here. Even though they join together, senses and the sense objects join together, that person who is experiencing in his mind, he's thinking that, oh, there is no happiness higher than this. There's no happiness higher than this. For example, suppose you are having a feast and you're very hungry as well. And after you had the feast, and what will happen at that time? Suppose you are meditation, engaged in meditation, or dhyanam, or japam, or bhagavadam, something like that. When you finish that and you come out, because of the shanti you have experienced inside, you feel there is an amount of enthusiasm to do things, energy inside. But suppose you had a big feast and then you have gone and sat down to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, till that food is digested, there is a problem, isn't it? You are fighting against your own stomach. Because you have eaten so well, you have a lot of hunger you had, so you ate well. And then you decided to sit and listen to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And while sitting there, you are still fighting against your own body. You are feeling that the body is demanding something. So, till that is digested, the food is digested, there is revolution going on inside. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. So look at that verse. He says, Pariname Vishamiva. He says, Pariname Vishamiva. Prabhupada mentions that, if you look into that verse, in a nice way, he puts a story about that, he says there. That translation, 38. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses. But at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. So that is the way to understand. Now it's very clear what Satya Rajasam means, isn't it? How Satyam and Rajasam works, completely in a different way. So this happiness, Krishna is saying here, that we have in life also, when we are addicted to the tongue. In the Bhagavadam, what did it say? That na jayed rasanam yavad jidam sarvam jide rase. There is a verse in the 11th canto. Who says this? The Dattatreya Maharshi. Najayed rasanam yava jidam sarvam jide rase. Till you have got a complete control on your tongue, you have not got any control on any other senses. Because tongue is the head of all the senses. So, we have, and that tongue is the most difficult thing to control, isn't it? Sharira avidya jal jadendriya tahe kal. That verse will tell you that how difficult the tongue is. Jivaphale vishayasagore tarmadye jivavadi lobhamaya sudurmati takejada kudina samsare krishna pare dayamaya kori bhare jivajaya swaprasadhanandil lobhaya sena mrudapava radha krishna gunagavo premadako chadinimita. So that verse is also pointing out to that tongue is the most difficult thing to control, but with Krishna's prasadam, let that come under control. But that doesn't mean that eat as much prasadam, tons of that. Prasadam should help, so that you don't eat other things, wrong things. And Bhartrihari mentions this. Actually, you have not enjoyed any of the sense objects. Sense objects have enjoyed you. It's the other way. Instead of we enjoying the sense objects, sense objects have enjoyed us. And you have not performed any austerities. Austerity means that it heats up, isn't it? It actually develops strength inside. But instead, austerities have burned you. Why? Desires have not gone still after all that. Even the age of 80 and 90, people, desires are still coming. Desires are still coming. And we are thinking that by engaging in that gratification, will it come to an end somehow? That's the thing. So, as they say in the Bhagavatam in many places, it's just like pouring the ghee into the fire. So, at the old age, only desires are left behind and unable to fulfill any desires. Why? Because you don't have the power, sensory power, to engage in sense gratification. So, old people's life is very, very hard. In that sense, it's very, very difficult. So once it so happened that a person, he was very old, he didn't get married throughout life. And then finally, he was about 75 or 80 years old. Somebody went to visit him and asked him, oh, he didn't know that. He said, you didn't get married. He said, no, I didn't get married in my life. He said, I didn't get married in my life. After a few seconds, he is asking to this visitor that I should not get married now, should I? This is how the nature is. He managed up to the 75, he didn't get married. But then when he gets 75, when somebody went to visit him, he's asked him that you didn't get married in your life. He was thinking about him, or at least he escaped from this whole situation. So that person says to him, it won't look good, would I, if I get married now, he says to him. So we could see that even at that time he's thinking that it's not wrong if I get married now. He's feeling like that. So this happiness, whatever that is coming from marriage and all that, it is nothing but prarabdham that is. It is nothing but niyati, or Krishna says it as niyati. And it is rajoguna sukham. That sukham happens from rajogunam. And it comes from indriya vishaya samyogam. What Krishna points out there, isn't it? Vishaya indriya samyogad. And Krishna has spoken about that kind of sukham in the second chapter. If you remember, already Krishna has spoken about that. Any sukham that is coming from senses and sense objects, contact of senses with sense objects, he has spoken that. And Krishna spoken in the second chapter, it is possible to live in this world without having the happiness of senses and sense objects contact, without having the happiness of senses contacting with the sense objects. In the second chapter, Krishna has spoken that. You can't live in this world without having food. Agreed. And it is impossible to eat food without looking at the taste of the food, isn't it? Without tasting the food. While engaging in bhajan or kirtan, what you are experiencing is satvika sukham. Is that Vishayendriya Samyogam? Now, this is an important thing. Krishna mentions in that verse, Vishayendriya Samyogat Yatad Agre Amurdobamam. When you take food, there is, you will naturally forced to taste the food and see how it tastes, isn't it? It will not be possible to eat food without tasting it, what it's like. It's possible to be engaged in bhajan or kirtan and listen to some kirtanam or bhajanam. And while listening to that, also that you are experiencing sukham from that. Are they not the same, both Vishayendriya Samyogam? Vishayendriya Samyogam means contact of the senses with the sense objects. So, answer to that, Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, if you remember that. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran alma vashyed vithay alma prasadam adhigachadi. That is the answer for that. 64. Second chapter 64. You look at it. See, those verses when you study, you got to see the subtleties of those verses. Otherwise you won't see, it will take it as an instruction. It's not an instruction. It is for something to analyze very seriously inside. What is the difference between senses contacting the sense objects and the happiness that's coming from that? And what is the difference between that and the difference what Krishna has spoken about Satyaga Sukham before? That senses and sense objects, that coming from that is Rajasa Sukham. And that happiness that is coming from the Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Alma Vashir Vidhe Alma Prasadam Adigachadi. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. Completely mercy of the Lord. So, and Krishna has given us the secret there. That means that Rajogunam which was present in us initially, we are able to change that into Sattugunam later. That is the secret in that verse. Do you understand what I'm saying? That initially it is Rajogunam in us. Which one? That when we take prasadam, you want to taste and you want tasty prasadam. Is it not? Yes or no? Halwa, sweet rice, kachoris, samosas, gulab jamun, preferred items. Khichdi, last the item. Why is it like that? It is because of this. Because we like to, senses, coming into contact with the sense objects and wants to enjoy that. Vishaya Indriya Samyoga, Krishna is saying there. But, in the second chapter in that verse, Krishna has given us the secret, what to do then. Turns that into prasadam and accept it as prasadam. Ragadveshamuk, without considering ragam and dvesham. Not thinking attachment or aversion, thinking that it is Krishna prasadam, you are taking it. And if you take it that way, vishayan indriyaischaran, let the take as much prasadam as it want, but take it as Krishna prasadam. Then what will happen? Alpa vashyer vidhay alpa. It will bring that your mind will come under the control of the self. Self will control the mind. Alma Vishar Vidhay Alma. And what will happen? Prasadam Adhikachari. It will bring Shanti inside. That means in a due course of time, that means in a very gradually, that desire for eating also will go away from inside once it comes to this stage. Because Ragadvesham has gone. So therefore, that intense desire for eating, intense desire for gratification will leave and it will become peaceful inside. Shanti will come inside. That's the point Krishna is making there. You have to link that 64th verse with this verse, 38th verse in the 18th chapter. Because 18th chapter is a summary of the whole history what you have spoken before. So, Vishaya Indriya Samyogal Yatad Agre Amardopamam Pariname Vishamiva Talsugam Rajasam Smradam. Talsugam Rajasam Smradam. So, Rajogunam, how you change that into Sattugunam, that secret is in this verse. In the 64th verse. Because why eating is talked about is, eating is the most highest sense gratification here in this world, is it not? And it is something which is very close to everybody's heart, eating. All other things are, you can do away with it, doesn't matter. But in this one thing, everyone loses their temper, and that is the reason in all the temples if you go, all the fighting will be in the kitchen and the dining hall. Even if you don't see the deity, deity room temporarily gets closed, you say it doesn't matter. But if you didn't get the prasadam, there will be a viplom or a revolution there. In the prasadam hall or in the kitchen or whatever, wherever it is being prepared. Because it's closer to the heart than anybody. Body will demand all these things. Nothing you can do about it. And so that is Krishna is saying here. So Ragadvesham, once it goes away, then he will be satisfied with whatever comes yadrachaya, what comes by through providence or destiny, what brings it. And all happiness and distress, if it comes like that, becomes like that, all happiness and distress, and if he is able to accept it without ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. Ragam is attachment, dvesham is aversion, isn't it? So these two things are in every one of us. With prasadam, it is there. And in everything else also, it's there. All other sense gratification also is with ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. So Krishna is saying here that if a person learns this technique, food, prasadam is one item. Equally, in another items also, if we learn, do that, that it becomes ragadvesham mukteistu vishayan indriyescharan atma vishar vidhayalma prasadam adhigachadi. If that happens, then that something will come to an end there. That means, this rajoguna, rajasic sukham should be converted into sattvikam by following this verse 64. Everything rajasic. And once it has come to sattvikam, what it means is, his prarabdham is over with that. Up to that time, it is his prarabdham. And he will flail, Krishna is saying there, alpa vasher vidhaya alpa prasadam adhigachati. He will reach that state of joyfulness, complete mercy of the Lord, once it has come to sattvikam. If it has come to sattvikam, whereas in the rajasam, it is prarabdham that is pushing him to get attracted to some sense gratification. But now, that attraction has gone. Attachment and aversion has gone. If it is there, he will take it. If it's not there, he doesn't complain about it. That stage has come for him. So therefore, what will happen at that time is that he is able to accept everything in life as Krishna's prasadam. You know, whole life you are battling in the world, isn't it? To satisfy our desires. Food is only one of them. There are so many other things as well in life. And you can see here, Ragadvesham Vimuktaisu Vishayan Indriyescharin Atma Vishayan Vithaya Alma Prasadam Adhigachadi. Krishna's point is that if it has come to this understanding that Ragam and Dvesham gone away in sense gratification, if Ragam Dvesham has gone away in sense gratification, then Atma Vishayan Vithaya Alma Prasadam Adhigachadi. You will come to that state of Shanti inside. And Almaushe Vidhaya Alma. There is no more hankering or lamentation after that. And whether it is happiness or distress that's coming from that. Because we are always concerned that only happiness should come in life, distress should not come. That's our normal logic. That's why we are working hard, is it not? So distress should not come, happiness should come. That we don't insist that anymore after that. If a person comes to that. He is not particular whether happiness is coming or distress is coming. And it has to, both will come. There is no question, it's not going to go away like that. So happiness or distress, and you are able to accept it without complaint, and that is called bhakti. That is called bhakti. Now you see how bhakti is. We think something else about bhakti, isn't it? So, so what Krishna is indicating here is that if you want to move away from this rajasic nature and come to that sattvika stage, you will never be able to do that without bhakti. Without bhakti, this material way of life, what we live in this world, you will never be able to transcend that. You will not be able to transcend that. No matter whatever yoga system you follow, Kundalini Yogam or Raja Yogam or this Yogam or that Yogam, no matter whatever Yogam it is, Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, any yoga system if you follow, if you want to make the first step forward, this principle what Krishna has spoken here about Bhakti Yogam is necessary. This is the reason you can see all other yoga processes are dependent on Bhakti Yogam. Dependent on Bhakti Yogam. Jnana Yogam is dependent on Bhakti Yogam. Karma Yogam dependent on Bhakti Yogam. Any yoga system is dependent on Bhakti Yogam. But then you have to understand what actually Bhakti means. Bhakti is not that... Bhakti is not simply that you have got a new name or new dress or new something happened by joining an institution. That is not exactly what Krishna is talking about. The subtle side of bhakti is this. Alpa vashir vithe alpa prasadam adhigachadi. That any yoga system, whichever way you go around, ultimately it will come and stand in the bhakti. It will come and stand in the bhakti. And you can call that bhakti whichever way you like it. And that is also due to knowledge, isn't it? Proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita, that leads into that bhakti. Because there is proper understanding. Whichever way you address it doesn't matter. So experiencing of that knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, in a practical life, is called bhakti. Experiencing of this knowledge what Krishna has spoken there in the Bhagavad Gita, experiencing that in regular daily life is called bhakti. Or you can put it the other way. When bhakti is there in the heart, the same thing, if you make it, it is called knowledge. If you are experiencing that bhakti inside, that is happening due to a powerful force behind it, and that is jnana. That is jnana. So, bhakti is something what you are experiencing all the time. And, but because bhakti is love, isn't it? Bhakti is love inside. That you want to develop that relationship with Krishna, somehow or the other. So, that means, sa tu asmin parama prema rupa, iti Narada Bhakti Sutram. Sri Narada Maharshi defines bhakti. Parama prema rupam. Priyam, shandi, anandam. All these things is nothing different terms for bhakti. See, bhakti is one word used in the Shastram. All other words is also, is nothing but bhakti. Shandi, priyam, premam, anandam. All, what does it mean? It all means bhakti, not different than that. So, it is at that time that sense objects is no more sense objects. Sense objects is no more sense objects anymore. Because a salagrama, for example, salagrama shila, a salagramam is has become Vishnu at that time, when that bhakti is there. Otherwise it is a stone. It is because there is bhakti in the heart that you are able to see in the salagramam Vishnu's presence. Most of the people accept, oh, I got salagramam from the Gandaki river in Nepal. And because Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu says there, you have to get it from there, I got it. But when I look at it, it looks like stone to me. And I'm saying, what's the difference between this stone and the stone what is present here? I can't find any difference. Why? Because there is no bhakti. So, bhakti is the one that makes that salagramam that come from the Gandaki river into Vishnu. Shastram says it's Vishnu in the form of salagram. Similarly, Shivalingam, when you see a lingam, it is also a stone. But when you see Shivalingam, you accept that it is Lord Shiva present there, because there is bhakti there. So, not to say that it is a stone is not Vedantam. Vedantam is not to say that it's a stone. So, everybody can see that it is a stone. It doesn't require any Vedantic knowledge. Any Vedantic knowledge. But when you start seeing that it is Brahman, that it is Vishnu, in that way, then you can say that there is bhakti in the heart. There is bhakti in the heart. So, that is the difference. See, water is called apam, isn't it? In the Shastram it's called apam. So, apo narayanaha. Water is Krishna. Water is Krishna. And the one who is seeing that, is he a Vedantist? Or one who is seeing the water as two particles of hydrogen and one particle of oxygen? Who is the Vedantist there? Vedantist is, scientist is the one who will see, oh, here is two particles of hydrogen and one particle of oxygen. But Vedantist is saying to us, he is saying, Jalam Apo Narayanaha. Apo Narayanaha, that is Vishnu who is present there. So, the Dvaitam is in the scientist's mind. Dvaitam is in the scientist's mind. Whereas, when you see other objects in this world, if he is seeing Brahman present in those objects, he is a Vedantist. He is a Vedantist. Just like you will see in the Bhagavatam, when you see the sun in the morning, first thing what we should do, seeing Krishna in the directly in presence of us, isn't it? Surya Narayana, Narayana present in the sun. So therefore Narayana Suktam is there addressing Narayana present in the sun. So Vedantam, one who has studied Vedantam is saying that worshipping him is necessary for this reason, that he is the direct representative who is present, visible to us every morning. Every morning is visible to us, isn't it? So, but instead if you say that, oh no, when I see the sun, I was just wondering how much helium is burning there, how much hydrogen, how many years it will last, like the scientists have told us, then what has it got to do with spirituality? So, Vedantam has gone. So, the moment you make anything jadam, dead matter, immediately you have fallen down. You have fallen down from that. Particularly, you can see this. Sun is representation of Krishna in this world. Is it not? Krishna's eye, it is, seeing everything. Gives to life to everybody, without whose sunlight, we all have problems, isn't it? Plants won't grow. Animals cannot live in this world. Human species also cannot live in this world. So, the moment you see sun separately from Brahman or Krishna, then another object has come and you have fallen down. To see everything as Krishna is the right thing to do. Krishna's presence, that is. But we are unable to do that. Therefore, this problem. So, similarly, all the sense objects also have to become no more objects of sense gratification. Instead, there should be Krishna's presence inside them. We have to be able to relate with the objects and thus Krishna's presence inside. It is difficult to live in this world without engaging in the senses and the sense objects. And Jnani, realized soul, he is also in the middle of all these things, like us. He is also in the middle of all these things. He is also taking food. He is also sleeping. He is also traveling, isn't it? Prahlada, you will see. Prahlada, what is mentioned about Prahlada in the Bhagavatam? Remember, yesterday also we looked at that, about Prahlada in the 7th canto. Where, while talking about Prahlada, we said that Prahlada's habits, Asinan 7:4:38. Asinan Paryadan Asnan Shayana Prabhivan Bruvan Nanusandhatamedani Govinda Parirambhidaha. That how Prahlada lived in this world, we talked about it yesterday. And then it mentions after that, that the Prahlada, while he was doing everything like everybody else was doing, Kochil Drudavi Vaigundam Chinda Shabala Chedana Aha, Kochit Asadida Chinda Ahlada Ulgaya di Kochil, Nadadi Kochil Kando, Vilajo Murtia di Kochil, Kochil Jatat Bhavana Yutam Tanmayon Chakaraha, Kochitul Pulaga Tushni Maste Samsparshan or Vradaha, Aspanda Pranayanandam Salila Milide Ekshana, Sa Uttama Shloka Padara Vindayoho, Nishevaya Kinjana Sangalabhayaha, Tanyan Param Nabudhi Alpan Omohur, Dusangadina, Nyamanashramam, Manashramam Vyathad, Tasmin Mahabhagavadi, Mahabhagi, Mahalpani, Hiranyakashivurajan, Agarodha, Akamal, Majayim. Prahlada's behavior is spoken there, how he was living in this world. So, Prahlada was, you can see here, Ashina Samyas Tishtan Pariyan Munjanan Mahim, that Govinda Parirambhidaha. He was eating, he was sleeping, and he was sitting, he was engaged in all other vyoharam like anybody else. But even when all those things were happening, Prahlada was not in the Prakriti. He was not in the material. He was not Prakritistan. Instead, he was Swastham. Do you understand? Swastham and Prakritistam. Prakritistam, we are all Prakritistam. Prakritistam means we are situated in the Prakriti, three modes of material nature. Prahlada was situated in the, not in the material nature, but in the self. Swastham. Swastham means situated in the Swam. Swam means self. So that is the difference. Situated in the self and doing vyavaharam is different than situated in the Prakriti and doing vyavaharam. Prakriti and doing vyavaharam. So here what Krishna is talking about, not about a person who is situated in the Prakriti, instead about a person who is situated in the self. Swastham. Swastham. So, one who is running after sense objects due to powerful desires inside, never satisfied with anything what he has got, and always desiring, I want this, I want that, and I always want to see something new, some change in life, and always trying to enjoy life. And because when you enjoy senses, any new sensual experience is, you become that, is it not? That's what happens. That you can imagine, any emotions, any object creates inside, you become that. For example, you get angry with somebody, you become the anger. You become the anger. Similarly, all sense gratification also, whether it is through eye or through hearing or through tasting or by touching, all times what's happening is, you yourself has become that, that particular emotion takes over. So, so similarly, as soon as that happens, you have to accept all the miseries that has to come from that. That will come from that. You will have to accept that. Therefore, like we are hearing so many things with the ear, and we are smelling so many things with the nose, tasting many things with the tongue. Although all these things are happiness initially, later on you know what will happen. If you hear certain things too long, take for example news in the television or radio news, anything for that matter, if you continuously expose yourself to that or any television program, whatever it is, you know what impact it will create inside, is it not? In a certain level, what it does. Similarly, any food for that matter, if you got attracted to the taste of the food, and if you kept on eating that, you know it will one day cause problems. Equally true with all the other senses as well. Whether it is nose, smell, or seeing, or no sense gratification is possible forever. You have to withdraw from that at one point or the other time. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Pariname Vishamiva, he says. Rajasa Sukham. Nature of Rajasa Sukham is, after a while, it will turn out to be poison. To be poison. You don't want it. See, suppose you like some particular, say, Gulab Jamun even. Say, you like Gulab Jamun very much. And I brought a whole load of one whole bucket and gave you 10. And you ate with the struggling, you ate 10. Then if I give you another 10, would you, you won't like it, would you? You will say, what's wrong with you? You will ask me. That you expect me to eat all these things. That your nature will change. So that is why. Parinama vishamiva. It is like that. Every other sense object is, sense gratification is like that. So this Saptika Sukham and Rajasa Sukham is completely opposite. Saptika Sukham is struggle in the beginning. Later on it is Amrita Nectar. Rajasa Sukham is appears to be nectar in the beginning, but later on it is poison. Later on it is poison. That is what Krishna is saying here. And from these two, you will have a fairly clear picture of what is Sukham means, Satyagam and Rajasam. Is it not? Satyaga Sukham, Rajasa Sukham. That is why, knowing very well what Satyaga Rajasa Tamasam is, Krishna has actually spoken to us before that what really Sukham means, which we discussed whole yesterday. So, with that background, you should read these verses. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. Then, because Sukham, what we call it as Sukham, in Krishna's eyes, it's not Sukham. It is not Sukham. So, we'll have a short break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagvinirvavanam shreyakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandamudivardhanam pradipadam purnamudaswadhanam sarvatmasuvanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrapida nivida smaranena kala भगवान महावी दशमिहाजनी अनुरागा नीचेन थरोरपि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानवेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न जनम न सुंदरी कविदाम्मा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहे दुवित्वे अयि नन्दतनूज किङ्करं पतिदामाङ्गुषमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पादमङ्गजस्थितदोळी सदृशं चिन्तय नयनं गणदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरं पुलकविजितं कदा बभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधम निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधम शून्यायुधम जगल सर्वं गोविंद विरहे नमे विश्लिष्य वापादरदां विनष्टुमां अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विददादलं मत् मत्प्राणनाथा सुन एव नापरा
विषयेन्द्रिय संयोगाल यतदग्रे अमृतोपमं परिणामे विषमिवं तल्सुखं राजसस्मृतं तल्सुखं राजसस्मृतं. सो एनी हैप्पीनेस दैट कम्स फ्रॉम कॉन्टैक्ट द सेंसेस विद द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स विच इज कॉल्ड विषयेन्द्रिय संयोगम विषयेन्द्रिय संयोगम yat agre amrutopamam. In the beginning it is like nectar, and at the end pariname vishamiva, at the end it is like poison. Tal sukham rajasam smritam. Krishna says such a happiness is rajasam. There is no question about that. That is as much as we understand. So therefore it's necessary to know these things, that sense gratification, sense enjoyment is like that, isn't it? So, next one. After we have seen now Satyagam Rajasam, both in happiness, is it not? Satyagam Rajasam. The next one is Tamasam. Let's look at that verse.
Yadagre chanubandecha sukham mohanam almanam निद्रा आलस्य प्रमादोत्थम्
తత్తామసముదాహృతం యదగ్రే చానుబంధే చ సుఖం మోహనమాల్మనాం నిద్రాలస్య ప్రమాదోర్థం తత్తామసముదాహృతం. సో యద్ అగ్రే చానుబంధే చ సుఖం మోహనం ఆత్మన నిద్ర ఆలస్య ప్రమాదం అర్థం తామసముదాహృతం. దాట్ ఈస్ ది థర్డ్ వన్. తామసం, తామస సుఖం, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ తామస సుఖం. సో ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ తామస సుఖం సేస్ దట్ అండ్ దాట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ విచ్ ఈస్ బ్లైండ్ టు సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance, of the nature of ignorance. So, here, tamasa sukham, what does that mean? In the beginning, it says here, sukham yad agre chanyu bandeja sukham mohanam altmana. In the beginning and in the end, mohana almanaha, which means that alma is always covered with tamasa sukham. Tamasa sukham will never give an opportunity for you to get into any thought to develop inside of your spiritual nature. Spiritually, you won't be able to become aware of anything. No awareness of spirituality will come from tamasa sukham. That is the nature. That's what Krishna is saying. Yad agre chanyu bandeja sukham mohanam almanam. In the beginning and in the end, bandham. It is bound like that. In the beginning as well as the end. It will cover the alma at all times. And it will also won't allow you to develop any spiritual identity, spiritual realization. So, what is the swarupam of that tamasa sukham? Nidra alasyam pramadam. Nidra alasyam pramadam. What are they? Nidra means, you know what? Sleep. Alasyam means laziness. And pramadam means no shraddha. Not able to focus on anything. So, nidra alasyam pramadam. In other words, ajnanam. Ignorance. Good things you won't get attracted to if there is tamasic sukham. You won't get attracted to anything good in this world. There are so many good things also in this world, is it not? You can do certain good things in this life. You won't get attracted to that at all. And that is a symptom of a person who has got this tamogunam in him. Tamoguna sukham in him. His attraction will always be for things which are of no benefit to him or for others. Agreja anubandeja, he says. It agreja anubandeja. Agreja anubandeja. So, from the very beginning itself, it is like that. From the very beginning itself. And you can't do anything with him. You can't do anything with him. Because from the very childhood, he is like that. From the very childhood, he is like that. Always, he likes to sleep. And he won't sleep at the time when you have to sleep. Or otherwise, he likes to sleep even in the night as well as the day, during the day and night. And not only really that, laziness. Not able to do anything. And no matter whatever you tell him, he won't do anything. There are some people like that. You will see some people in that way. They won't do anything. They'll just hang around here, there, doing little things, whatever they like. And then finally, pramadam. Pramadam means no seriousness about anything. No seriousness about anything. And no taste for bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam and things like that. You speak to them about Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they will say, what Bhagavad Gita? What waste of time? That will be their approach. Anything. No interest at all. Even if you talk to him anything about spiritual life and try to create some interest in them, in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or spiritual life, they won't have any interest at all in that. Because what they call it as in Shastra, they call it as Jadyada. Jadyada means that, remember that black hole situation. That's a black hole. So similarly, dull. He is always dull. That black hole, it will, if you go and tell them something, they will suck you into their mode. Into their mode. They are in that mode all the time, like a black hole it is. So they like that state. They enjoy that in that state. So so you can see happiness also, suppose you are experiencing happiness, then happiness can come from three different planes. It can come from chanting, come from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, come from disciplined life, spiritual sadhana and vairagyam, bhakti, jnanam. In one plane, happiness can come in that way. Happiness can come from working hard and getting results from that. In that way you can get happiness from that. And finally, you can also get happiness from sleeping and always being lazy and not doing anything. So, from all the three different sources, you are deriving happiness. In Sattvikam, you will derive the happiness from bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, spiritual life, controlled life, disciplined life, and regulated life, everything in a way that is conducive for developing spiritual jnanam, sattvika jnanam. So that is also possible. You can get happiness from that also. There are many, many people who derive happiness from that way of life, isn't it? So that is one way. Then there are other people who derive happiness from working hard day and night and earning well and little sense gratification and satisfaction and pleasure from the work they derive, from pravritti. And there are other people then who derive happiness from sleeping and not doing anything in this world. Not doing anything in this world. So, so there is sometimes this proverb that even a lazy person, he may have to carry the mountain. So mother said this to the child. The child says, "But I don't want to carry the mountain," he says. "Because you have to put some effort into it." Basically what it is that he is not ready for anything. He doesn't want to do anything. And that is called alasyam. That word Krishna uses there, nidra alasyam. Alasyam means laziness. Such people, you can't tell them to chant. You can't tell them to engage in any spiritual activity. They can't do anything. Either reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and that is not possible. And that is coming from what Krishna says, due to pramadam inside. That is the reason behind that. Pramada means, pramado mrityuho, Sanat Kumara Maharshi says in his instructions, that pramado mrityuho, pramadam is death. That means practically he is dead. Practically he is dead. And to create any spiritual spark in him, it's very difficult. Remember when they started Bhagavadam, there is in the second chapter, in the first canto verse, what is the difference between the sattvam, rajas, tamas mentions there. He says there that the Partival daruno dhumam tasmad agnistrayimaya tamasastu rajas tasmal sattvam yal brahma darshanam. That there are so many verses before that also referring to the same thing. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobhadayaschaye chedamedarana vidam stidam sattve prasidadi evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti vayogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayade ado vekavayo nityam bhaktim paramayamuda vasudeve bhagavati kurvan alpa prasadanim sattvam rajastamaiti prakrutir gunasteer yakta parapurushamega mihasya datte sthiti adaye hari virinji haredi satya shrayamsi tatra gelo sattvadanor dhrunamsyum parthivadharano dhumam tasmad agnistrayimaya. That there is a wood, firewood. There is fire in that. And when you set fire, first the smoke comes and then it starts burning. So the burning stage is sattvagunam. The smoky stage is Rajogunam and the dead wood is Tamogunam. Dead wood, there is fire in there. Just like in the Tamoguni also Krishna is present inside as Paramatma, Andaryami, he is there. But he can't come out. Nice dry wood, if you set fire to it, if you induce fire into it, the fire in that wood will start burning. And finally you will see a big fire, because the wood is ready, fully dry, and the fire in the wood will start coming out. Fire is in the wood, it will start coming out. So all it requires is, you need to give some touch of fire to that dry wood. Then it will catch fire and it will burn. That stage is Sattvagunam. When it starts smoking, struggling to develop that fire, that's Rajogunam. That means sometimes you see some wood, if it's not dry enough, you put it into the fire, it will smoke, isn't it, for a long time. And then when it's first, it will get dry and then it will start burning. That is Rajogunam. Suppose the wood is very wet. What will happen? You keep on trying to set fire to it, it won't burn. Tamogunam is like that. Tamogunam is like that. There's no point in talking to them anything about spiritual life. Because the power of that is what it says here. Parthival dharino dhumam tasmadagnistrayimaya tamasastu rajas tasmal sattvam yal brahmadarshanam. First you have to tamasastu rajas tasmal. At least come to the rajogunam. At least you should start smoking. Then there is something can be done. And then from there, sattvam yal brahmadarshanam. If you come to sattvam, there is possibility of brahmadarshanam. So these three modes of material nature, sattvagunam, rajogunam, those three is always present there. And it is due to that we worship different devadas also because of that. There are certain forms, deities, which are worshipped by those who are in the tamogunam. Is it not? There are so many, when we say 330 million forms worshipped, many of those forms worshipped in the tamogunam are like that. That for their nature, that form will suit them. And the offerings they make to their deities, alcohol, meat, all such things, they offer them to their deities. And if you look at them, they are very serious. They have faith in their deities and they are doing that. So, Rajastama Prakritaya Samashila Bhajan Divai Pidra Bhuda Prajeshadin Shri Aishwarya Prajepsava. You'll see in the same chapter, Krishna mentions that, all these things. Sudha Goswami says that actually. So, modes of nature, Satunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, that is there, and this Samogunam is practically, you can say that he is dead. Like dead wood. He is dead. That person is dead. Mrityuho. Tamado, Pramado, Mrityuho. Pramadam is the quality of Tamogunam. And Pramadam means death. Practically death. Practically death. So, death means, when we say death, death is not the death of the body. You shouldn't get confused with that. It is when in the Shastram, when they say death, death is not with reference to the body. It is due to the death due to ajnanam, ignorance inside in the person. When there is too much ajnanam or avidya inside, like in the tamogunam happens, then practically it's a dead person. There's nothing you can do about it. So that ignorance in that person, that is death. If a person is so ignorant, sometimes you can see people like that, is it not? You will see in certain, due to some prarabdham, it has happened like that in their life, that tamogunam has overpowered them to such an extent that it's impossible for them to do any effort in life in the spiritual direction. They can't come out of it. Alcohol and all other bad habits, everything comes in. And then to come out of it is too difficult for them. So, therefore, not to knowing yourself is the greatest suffering in this world. Not knowing ourselves who we are. Or to misunderstand, worse than that, to think that we are this body. Not to know ourselves itself is enough misery. Not to know ourselves who we are itself is a great misery. Worse than that, to think that I am this body. So there is, Acharya Swamiji says this, no other greater distress can come in life than this, to think, realize that you are this body. Because you can see, because I do not know who I am suffering because of that. Am I not? I have to work, I have to earn, maintain this body, all because of this one problem, because I don't know who I am. Plus, I have understood that I am this body. I am thinking I am this body. Therefore, I have to work, I have to earn, maintain this body, run to the doctor, run to hospital, buy the food, cook the food, eat the food. All problems, everything throughout the day what we have to do is only because of this one problem. What? I don't know who I am. Therefore, I have to suffer due to that. So, that is what we are suffering here. So all the problems in life, the very root cause of all our problems in life is this ajnanam, or what is called pramadam. So in everyone, tamogunam is also there. It's not that we are all, never you will find one person with pure sattugunam, or pure rajogunam, or pure tamogunam. It's always mixed. It's always samishram. It's called samishram. It's always mixed. So depending on how heavy the presence of tamogunam in a person, you will see his effort in the spiritual life. If the degree is not very high of tamogunam, he will be able to give some time and energy for spiritual life. But if there is too much of an influence of tamogunam, it's very difficult for him to come to that state of spiritual life. So that is due to that what is called as pramadam. What Krishna uses that word? Nidra, alasyam, pramadam. Pramadam means this. Pramado, mrityuhu. Pramadam is death. Once pramadam has come, then it is practically, you can say in a person that he is close to death. Death of what? Death of, not physical death, what he is referring to. He is dead because he can't do anything anymore. Spiritually he can't make any progress. Then what's life then? What's life then? That's what Krishna is asking here. So, alasyam, nidra, pramadam, another word is used is avaranam. Avarana shakti means that covering potency. And this you will notice if you are in the association of some mahalmas, great personalities. When you sit closer to them, you will notice these things, that these people who are this pramadam in them, even if they go and sit very close to a self-realized soul, it will not benefit them. It will not benefit them because it is, that is the very nature of this problem, pramadam. When pramadam or tamogunam in that way, if it is very deep rooted in a person, then no, it is impossible for him to come out of it. Even in the association of a great personality, it won't happen. It won't happen. That is the most difficult thing. There were instances like that. In many, many cases, they used to say this, that in Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life, there is an incident that there was one person, he was related to him as well. Ramakrishna's relative he was. And he will come, he won't show any interest. When Ramakrishna and Vivekananda and many other famous sannyasis, they were together discussing about spiritual life and various topics. He will not show any interest. He will sit there. And what he used to do was that while living with him, with them, he was thinking, is there any way of making some money there? That's what his mind was working after. So many, many devotees complained about this to Ramakrishna himself, to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, about him, complained about him. And they have come to see Ramakrishna at that time when he was living. Vivekananda was there, and Brahmananda and many other famous sannyasis were there. So he used to tell them that, why do you want to see Ramakrishna Paramahamsa? Why don't you see me? I am as good as him. What's the difference? He used to tell them. And sometimes he used to mislead people, telling them that, I'll give you the instructions. because he was related to Ramakrishna at that time. So he sat next to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, but he never understood him, who he was, isn't it? Till the last minute. So once it so happened, well, in their presence there, that when they were talking about something, Vivekananda scolded him for his behavior like this, because he was so much out of line, not follow, accepting anything, and completely, rebellious, and this pramadam has grown so strongly inside him. So Vivekananda told him, you have wasted your whole life like this. And even after living here, in such a great soul for whole life, still you haven't understood anything, and the whole life was a waste of time. So at that time, he felt a little bit sad about that. So Vivekananda told him, at least go and pay obeisances to Ramakrishna, at least once in life, he said. When he took him inside, Ramakrishna told him, Vivekananda, don't bring him closer to me, he said. It was so difficult for him. But still, Vivekananda forcefully told him to pay obeisances to him. So this nature of tamogunam is such that even if you get an opportunity for a divine association with somebody who is advanced in spiritual life, tamogunam won't allow you to experience that. That's how deep it is. It won't even allow you to experience that. Because tamogunam will come in people through various ways. Suppose you are very much, this word is shokam. Shokam means that, lamentation, I think that's the right word. Lamentation. Suppose some people, they're very much lamenting all the time about something or the other. Oh, this happened in my life, that happened in my life, everything went wrong like this. He turned against me, he gave me so much trouble, she's not behaving with me properly. Like this all the time, complain about something or the other. If you develop that habit, shogam, it's called shogam. Shogam will create tamogunam in a person, easily, it will create tamogunam. And if you live in a distressed mood all the time, tamogunam will come. Tamogunam will overpower you. Because similarly, food, what you eat, if it's not properly prepared, not pure, or prepared with the people who have that tamogunam strongly, or due to transactions, vyavaharam in this world, which is not clean, impure vyavaharam, dodgy deals. Always wheeling and dealing, dodgy dealing, all these things, tamogunam will come into the body. So, and similarly you can see, if you see a lot of these movies and films and all that, tamogunam will come. Similarly, different things, if you discuss and analyze it and all that, tamogunam will build up in the body. Because tamogunam is in the prakriti, it is in the nature. So, if you build a cage inside for tamogunam to come, it will come and it will get inside. It will get inside. Just like you can see, when these people who who keep this, what do they call it, the honey bees, they make that cage for them, and the honey bees will come and store the honey inside. How they grow these honey bees, isn't it? So similarly, all you have to do is to make that cage for them to come, tamogunam to come. He'll come and build the cage inside. Build the cage inside. Similarly, if you create satugunam inside, a cage for satugunam, then satugunam will come and make that cage equally, and rajogunam also. If you create the rajogunam cage inside, rajogunam will come and enter inside. So, if you have that tamogunam cage inside, if you built up with the tamogunam inside, wherever you go, you will look for tamogunam. That's another aspect of that. Suppose I have a lot of tamogunam in me, whenever I go in anywhere, I will look for an opportunity where I can fill my cage with the more tamogunam. This is a famous thing. For example, you can see this yourself. See, for example, this is an example that in your normal life here, in here where we are living now, you got certain work you have to do at office or wherever it is, whatever occupation you are involved with. And along with that, you are trying to develop some spiritual understanding of life, spiritual realization. trying to progress on the spiritual path as well. Because of your own understanding of spiritual life, one day you have decided that you want to go and go to some holy places, some temples, associate some devotees, hear some Srimad Bhagavatam, and create a spiritual atmosphere in life for some time, not for a long time, for some time at least. And you want to take some time off from work to do that. Go for some program where you'll get some spiritual inspiration and spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization and all that. Some desire came up inside. When that desire comes up, if you look at your own mind, you will see there is a strong sattvagunam working there. It is from that sattvagunam that that desire has come. If it was tamogunam, that would have never come. If it was rajogunam, you would have got more absorbed in the work, what you are doing. So there itself, you can observe this. The very moment when sattvagunam is operating inside, sattvagunam will naturally guide you in a direction which is completely different from work and completely different from sleeping in life. Automatically it will inspire you, a thought will come inside, I have got this opportunity to spend some time in a spiritual atmosphere to discuss and realize about some spiritual understanding in life. And in a natural way from inside, Antaryami will push you in that way towards spiritual life. And that is where Sattvagunam's presence you can notice. When you know that there is an opportunity for that, but inside if you are thinking at that time, oh, I have a lot of work to do, I can't get time off from work, I have this, I have that, all responsibilities on your head suddenly falls off. And you start thinking that work is more important than anything else, and getting attracted by the work, and becoming perfect there, that is that influence from Rajogunam. Instead, neither attracted by spiritual life, nor attracted by work, if you start feeling at that time, what is all this waste of time? I don't want to spend my time. I'd rather take some time off from work and take some rest at home and sleep and have a two or three weeks good sleep at home and eat well and sleep well and we enjoy comfortable in life. That thought is coming from the tamogunam. So here, Krishna is saying here that also that whichever plane you are in, whether in the plane of sattvagunam or rajogunam or tamogunam, whichever plane you are, you will get that particular gunam wherever you go. You will get that gunam wherever you go. Now, after you have decided to go somewhere, say decide to go to Vrindavanam or Badrinath or somewhere like that, you have boarded a plane, you went to Heathrow Airport, got in the flight, you observe your own mind, you will notice that the initial happiness you felt when you started your journey for your pilgrimage, that's slowly changing. As soon as you get to Heathrow, all the duty-free shops there and various attractions there, immediately you start thinking, everybody is enjoying life. What am I doing? These thoughts will come. These thoughts will definitely come. Okay, we will put our saffron, danda and saffron. But inside, there is no saffron, won't work. Saffron is okay for outside. You can put your saffron. You can see this in the people. As soon as we board the plane, we see everybody is enjoying. Everyone is watching the movies. Everybody is doing something to gratify their senses. You also thinking your spiritual journey has suddenly become a holiday then. Turns out to be a holiday. How that modes of nature is changing inside. That determination you had, initially you were thinking, oh, I'll go to Vrindavan, spend there for one whole month of Kartik. Every day I'll chant 64 rounds and all that. But now you started making concessions already. 64 rounds is a lot. I have not given any commitment for 64. I only committed for 16 now. It has dropped from 64 to 16. You got to Delhi, say for example, in your journey. When you got to Delhi, say you got an accommodation somewhere, suppose you had enough money, you booked in a nice hotel, wherever it is, doesn't matter, 4-star or 5-star, walked in, all fantastic, everything. You are here not living in so comfortable like there. And you see all the comforts, there's a lot of opportunity for gratification. And you go to Kunal place and you see a lot of people engaged in various kinds of sense enjoyment. You start thinking, yes, I'm on my way to Vrindavan. Vrindavan, you should not be doing all these things. But in Delhi, it's okay. You make another concession there. So you go through some sense gratification in Delhi, and then you get to Vrindavan. When you get to Vrindavan, by now, you see when you walk around in Vrindavan, all the problems there. The monkeys on the one side, and the hogs in the nala or the sewers, and all the problems there, crowded everywhere, people pushing this way, that way, can't get through, police giving you trouble, everybody giving you trouble there. So when it all comes like that, you start thinking, let me go to Radhakund or Shyamakund or Govardhanam or somewhere like that for a few days. Go here, there, everywhere. Few days you go for Mangalarati, and then you see what all nice prasadam is available to buy. I've come all the way. Everything is a lot cheaper here than in London. So it's much attractive than here. And so then you, and it, I'm having prasadam then. 20 laddus and 100 soap burfis. Only thing is I'm having prasadam. So my spiritual life has now turned from chanting the holy name to taking prasadam. It has become. So whole thing is changing along with your modes of nature. The decisions are also changing. You can observe that within yourself. So the same person, when you started from here in the beginning with some sattvagunam, it has started the journey. When it came to Heathrow in Delhi, it has turned into rajogunam. And by the time you got into Vrindavanam, all your spiritual energy has been drained. And practically you are only thinking of enjoying senses. To what extent you can. Your intelligence and mind will tell you from inside all excuses to justify what you are doing. That is tamogunam. That is the way tamogunam work. So what is important here is, because inside me there is tamogunam. That is why when I get there, I will look for tamogunam, and then I'll only get tamogunam. If I have sattvagunam inside, even if I have in Vrindavanam, when I get there, I will see sattvagunam there, I will take sattvagunam from there. Wherever you go, these three gunams is there. Trigunyal Vinnabedam. There is no place in this whole creation, Krishna is saying, without the three gunam. Demigods are under three gunam, we are under three gunam, in the lower planets they are under three gunams. It's everywhere. That is why this three gunam is so important. The only escape route is from tamogunam to rajogunam, rajogunam to sattogunam, and finally to come out of all the three gunam. You know, but you can only come out like this. From tamogunam, you can't come out from the three gunam. From rajogunam, you can't come out. You got to come to sattogunam, and from sattogunam, you have to come out of all the three gunam. That is the only route. There is no other way. Oh, I'm in tamogunam, so I'll come out of tamogunam straight away, out of maya. It won't happen. So that's why Krishna is saying that is why he's divided this into these three gunam, for this reason only. So that first get to sattvagunam. And in sattvagunam, if you are buddhi, karmam, jnanam, karta, dhriti, sukham, if it is all in the sattvagunam, then there is some possibility of coming out of all the three gunam, once for all. And unless you come out of all the three gunam, you are not come out of prakriti. Till you are not come out of prakriti, you are not out of maya. You are not out of maya. So complex is this three gunam. Three gunam. Why Krishna has spoken about this here? There was already one chapter we discussed. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, 14th or 15th chapter. Gunatraya Vibhaga. Again Krishna is repeating the same thing. Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, few chapters are for Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Gunam, again discussing. So these three gunam is very peculiar to Vedic philosophy. That is why in Vedic philosophy we don't accept that Vedam doesn't accept that there is one method for everybody. Two people are in two different gunam. You give him the same process to them. How will it work? It won't work. But there are few things which everybody can do, like chanting the holy name. But when it comes to advanced stage in spiritual life, it's not possible till that person also comes to sattvagunam. Only then it will work. That is how Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, different yoga systems have come because of this gunam. Gunams have affected that. That is why. Because everybody is not the same. Vasanas are different. Karma Vasana is different in different person. So Brahmanas have one kind of vasana, Kshatriya has a different kind of vasana, Vaishya has a different kind of vasana, Shudra has a different kind of vasana. It is no point in using one technique for everybody. It will not work. That is the beauty of Vedic philosophy. Sanatana Dharma's speciality is all these things. This is what makes it interesting. Whereas it does not make any sense. You have one process for everyone in this world. How can it work? It cannot work. Is it not? It cannot work. So, therefore it is said like this. So, according to the gunam what you have, we all have our own gunam inside. Something, one of the gunams predominating. If I have a lot of rajogunam inside, I will only find rajogunam in the world. And if I have tamogunam in me, I will look for tamogunam anywhere else. So, even in satsangam also, if you have tamogunam, your natural attraction will be to go and sit next to a person who is in the tamogunam. Or if you have rajogunam, you will go and sit next to a person who is in the rajogunam. Or if you have sattugunam, you will go and sit next to a person who is in the sattugunam. Of course, that is in a much more subtle level, that it's difficult to explain that more than that. Similarly, while listening to also, while hearing also, you will only hear those things which are, if you are in tamogunam, while speaking Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam also, there is a lot of things related to tamogunam was spoken. Those things you will get attracted to about tamogunam. Now we are talking about sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. If a person is in tamogunam, he will find it interesting when tamogunam is discussed. If he is in rajogunam, he will find it interesting when rajogunam is discussed. Even jnanam, karma, kartha, dhruti, sukham, buddhi, six things. Now, so these six things, jnanam, karma, kartha, buddhi, dhruti. Jnanam, karma, kartha, buddhi, dhruti, sukham. Six things. These six things we have seen under satyam, rajasam, tamasam. Isn't it? Satyam, rajasam, tamasam. Depending on your gunam, what you have inside, out of these three, in each one of them, if you are in rajogunam, when I am talking about rajogunam, you will find very interesting. If I am talking about tamogunam, if you are in tamogunam, you will find that is more interesting, you will say. You won't find any attraction what I am talking about sattugunam. If you are in sattugunam, and I am talking about sattugunam, you will find it interesting. And you won't find attracted to rajogunam, tamogunam. Do you know what I am saying? That is how it is. And there is nothing you can do about it. It is so fine inside this subtle body how it operates, these three gunams. You may be listening to all the three, but what you will pick up from the three is your mode. That's why when we say about tamoguna, everybody is laughing. What is that indicating is, yes. What is indicating is that yes, it is correct. It's in me. So it is correct. Because something what you are experiencing within yourself, when it is spoken, you feel some identity with it. Isn't it? That is why you find it interesting. Similarly, rajogunam also. When something is spoken, thank you. When something is spoken in rajogunam, about rajogunam, when something is spoken about rajogunam, if there is rajogunam inside, predominantly, I'm not saying 100%, predominantly, then you will start identifying with it. And start thinking, oh, that makes sense to me. It will make sense at that time because there is rajogunam inside. Remember I mentioned a person read Bhagavad Gita and he says, finally, that when he came to this about tamogunam, he says, I've understood that well, he said. It makes sense to me, he said.
that there Bhagavad Gita is discussing about me, he says. Because of that identification with the tamoguna, it is so strong in him that he could make sense to him when he read that. All that great qualities of a tamoguni, he started seeing in himself. So when you start seeing, whereas sattugunam, when we start saying all these things, we start thinking, when will that happen? We don't feeling no relationship with the sattugunam. Therefore we start thinking that, oh, how far out it is, this sattugunam. When is that going to happen to us? You start thinking like that. I'm sure inside your mind you will be thinking like that, definitely. I'm thinking you're also thinking the same thing. So that is unavoidable. This is the nature of the gunam. So when sattugunam we are talking, because sattugunam, all the qualities when you read, relationship with the sattugunam, you think how many lifetimes you are thinking to get that, is it not? So this is the difficulty with this gunam. Gunam, if you understand it properly, Krishna is saying like that, that there is no thing in this creation without gunam. We don't have to feel too depressed about it, because there is nothing in this creation without the three gunam. And that is why Prakriti is called Trigunalmiya. Trigunalmiya. Prakriti is Trigunalmiya. So we may think that oh, it just happened like that, I heard this. And no, it is a science behind that. Similarly, you can also notice another thing. This is how you observe this. When you will come to the Salsangam, and the place where you go and sit, and how you interact with everything what is happening in the room, all these things will synchronize with your gunam. You see? When you will come, what you will do, how you will spend your time, how much you will take on board, how you are interacting with the class, all these things will come according, it will all synchronize with the gunam what is inside. So, that is why, because that is the reason why you will sit next to a person who has a similar frequency. And there is that much power, these three modes, controlling us. Such a power. And that is why Krishna is saying here, that these three gunam is there in the Prakriti everywhere. Trigunalmiya. There is no object in this world. Mike has got trigunam. The table has got gunam. The earth has got. There is nothing in this creation, either in this world or the heavenly planets, outside the three modes of material nature. And Krishna also says there, Arjuna, there is nowhere any object you can show to me which is not under the three modes of material nature. That is the next verse. Verse 40. Why Krishna had to say this verse? Because we should not get depressed about it. That is why he is saying that. Not to depress us. Make us aware that it is how it works. Na tadasti prithivyam va divi deveshu vapuna sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadebisyatribhirgunehi na tadasti prithivyam va divi deveshu vapuna sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadebisyatribhirgunehi. Yes, na tadasti prithivyam va divi deveshu vapunaha sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadebisyal tribhirgunehi. So you see, Krishna is saying that there is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is freed from these
three modes born of material nature. Three modes born of material nature. You will see in the Puranam stories, various interesting stories, and you may wonder, oh, you expecting a very high standard from them in the higher planets, is it not? But when you look at some of their activities, you start wondering what kind of modes of nature is that, is it not? Like remember what Moon did. He went and caught hold of Brahaspati's wife, Tara, and took her. She went with him. They stayed together. Son was born, Buddha, isn't it? Brahma went up. There also, all the problems what we have got, it's there also. It's not that that place is free from all these problems, full of satugunam everywhere. No. There also, people are having these same problems. Gunams are working there. So, in one of those lower modes, Moon decided to do this. Moon is supposed to be a heavenly planet, isn't it? And Chandra, he decided that, and that too, spiritual master's wife, he decided that he made some, I don't know whether mobile phone or how it was, contact was made, that Tara, she decided to go with him, went and stayed together. Brihaspati got very upset, goes and tells the disciple, send back my wife, like that, he says, otherwise I'm going to curse you. Disciple says, no, I'm not bothered, we can curse me if you like, doesn't matter. And Tara won't go back. He asked Tara, do you want to go back? Tara said, no, I'm staying here. Tara decided to stay. Brahma comes and goes and tells Brihaspati, don't worry about it, I'll go and speak to him. He goes and meanwhile the war started. A group of people joined the Moon, a group of people said he's right, and others said Brihaspati is right. So among the demigods, fight started. Some of them turned in favor of Brihaspati, and some of them in favor of Moon, Chandra. Finally, Brahma got involved. Brahma told Tara, Tara was pregnant, and then the baby was born, Buddha was born. And Brahma asked Tara, whose child is that? Tara won't reply. Brihaspati saw the child. Child was very good looking, very intelligent child from the very look itself. Brihaspati is an intelligent person, isn't it? So Brihaspati said, I will take that child, it's my child, he started. Chandra said, no, nothing doing, it's my child. Because Buddha was, that's from the word, the Buddhi had come from that Buddha. So they started arguing each other. Finally, Tara said, it is Chandra's son. And that's how it was settled. So you can see all these things, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, is present everywhere. Is present everywhere. Nahusha, famous personality in the Bhagavatam, Nahusha, because of his great qualities, he was promoted to heavenly planets. And he was given the job of Indra there. Indra went on probably holidays or what it is, I don't know. He was away. And Nahusha made the Indra there. When he became Indra, the first thought came to him was, the previous Indra who lost his position, because he had to leave due to some curse, other Indra had to come, and Nahusha got the promotion to become Indra. So Nahusha says, now that I am Indra, the old Indra's wife should be with me, Indrani. Shaji Devi was her name. So he says that Indrani should accompany the Indra, not go with the other Indra who was previously Indra. And he started arguing about that. Big argument started among the demigods. They are arguing about all these things. And finally a decision was made that Saptarishis, the seven sages, he gave them instructions that you should carry me in a palanquin. And they all decided to carry him in a palanquin. And while carrying him in the palanquin, he saw that Agastya was there. One of them was Agastya. Agastya is a very small person, about 2 or 3 feet high. So while walking, he was struggling. Others were all taller people. They were carrying the palanquin. Because he was Indra, they had to carry him. The Saptarishis had to carry him. So when Nahusha looked down, he saw Agastya struggling to carry him, and he made fun of Agastya. Agastya thought, this is it. Send him here. take the body of a python. And Nahusha, who got promoted as Indra, comes down as a python here. In this world, he had to come down. All this is due to what? The modes of nature. So, modes of nature is very strong. We have got Prarabdham already with us. What's already there? Now, the second thing is this, modes of nature. Prarabdham, you can't do anything. Krishna has openly said that in the Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Narada Maharshi, he said, he told the Jadavarada, he said, the Tatraya Maharshi, he said, I won't touch that thing called the Prarabdham. That's already in all of us. That's why we are here in this way. Added to that, these three modes of nature is also operating within. So, here, Krishna is saying here that there is no living entity or object in this world, either in the heavenly planets or in the earthly planet or among the demigods even, who was out of these three modes of material nature. So from this you can imagine how powerful these three modes of material nature is. So he says here, the na tad asti tad nasti prithivyam vam manushyadishu sattvam pranijadam anyad va apranijadam va divi devashu va punaha sattvam prakritijai prakritito jadehi ebi tribihi gunaihi sattvadibhi muktam parityaktam yalsyad bhavet na tad asti idi purvena sambandaha sarva samsaram. That means all, whether any objects, whether it has got life or no life, whether it is in the heavenly planets or in the lower planetary planets, lower planets or in the middle planetary system, none of them is outside these three modes of material nature. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Sarva samsara kriya karaka phala lakshanaha satturajas tamogunalpagaha avidya parikalpidaha samulaha anartha ukto vrikshariva kalpanayaja urdhvamulam ityadina. Remember, karmam, actions, and kartrutvam, ownership of the karma, karma bhalam, the results that's coming from the karma. These three things, and due to those things, plus the three modes of material nature, and plus ignorance in us, the other ignorance in us, that is what makes us get attracted to something. When we get attracted to something, say for particular karma, what is that force behind it? One is the three modes of nature in us, makes us attracted to karma. Other thing is that the ownership, karmam, kartrutvam, karma bhalam, another aspect of that which gets us attracted to a particular karma. Finally, the three modes of material nature and ajnanam inside us. Ajnanam inside us. So, this thing is what Krishna has spoke about previously in another verse. Where was that? Urdhva moolam atho shakha ashvattham prahur avyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastvam vedasa vedavit. Remember an ashvattha tree, a banyan tree, we discussed in the 15th chapter, first verse. That banyan tree is made of these three modes of nature. Remember that? When we talked about that? That banyan tree is made of these three modes of nature. So three modes of nature, you can't write it off easily. If you think that, oh, I'm a devotee now, three modes of nature cannot touch me, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So three modes of nature is so powerful, it is from there that tree which was spoken upside down has come. Remember that? That's when we discuss that, you will see. Urdhamulam athashakha ashvattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastvam vedasa vedavil. And in that explanations you will see there that we talked about that. Atashordam prasradastasya shakha, second verse. Gunapravardha vishaya pravalaha. Gunapravardha. Gunapravardha means what? This tree, banyan tree, which is the tree called material existence, that tree grows well when these three modes are very predominant. So three modes is actually something like a fertilizer for that tree to grow. You see? Gunapravardha vishaya pravala. Remember that? Gunapravardha. Vishaya Pravala. When Gunam is very prominent, Vishayam will be very prominent. Prominent, Vishayam means what? Sense objects. Sense enjoyment will be very prominent. When Gunam is prominent, sense enjoyment is prominent. So there he has mentioned that Trigunam, these three modes of nature, that is the manure or fertilizer for that tree to grow and extend its branches and leaves and twigs everywhere, and the tree becomes very strong when the three modes are very strong inside. So there you can see, already referred to the three modes, how it affects us on our material existence. In other words, three gunam actually strengthens our material existence. Tamcha asanga shastrena dradena chitva tadapadandat parimargidavyam. If you look into the third and the fourth verse in there, third and the fourth verse, you will see narubama seha tadobalabhyade nandona chadirnaja sampradishtaha ashwathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dradena chitvam. Then tadapadandat parimargidavyam yasmin gadana nivartam vibhuyaham tameva jadyam purusham prabadye yada pravurti prasrada purani. Those two verses, Krishna is saying here that tree, if you have to cut it off, if you have to kill that tree of material existence, only possibility is by detachment, vairagyam, through vairagyam. And you have to cut that tree with vairagyam, and that means coming out of the three modes of material nature. When you don't go with the modes of nature, they will come out from that, and then you have to inquire. Tatraja sarvasya trigunalmagatvat samsara karana nivritti upabatto praptayam yathatam nivritti syal tatha vaktavyam. If it is like that, because of these three modes of material nature, will it happen that it is not possible to come out? If it is like this, is it possible to cut that tree with this way? Tatraja sarvasya trigunalmagatvat. If everything is three modes of material nature, samsara karana nivrutya upapattav, how can I come out of this material existence? Prathayam yathata nivrutisya tatha vaktavyam. How will I come out? The answer is that when Krishna concludes this chapter, he will mention sarvachaha gita shastram artha upasamhartavya etavan evaja sarva veda smrityartha purushartham ichadbi anishteya iti evam arthamja brahmana kshatriya visham ityadi arabhyade. See how this chapter is flowing. After saying all these things, and when you look at that 15th chapter, the first verses, second, third, fourth verses, and now what Krishna has spoken in this chapter about sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, we will probably come to an understanding, is there any way of escape from this? That question will naturally come, is it not? What possibility have we got to come out of that? Krishna is saying at that time that that it is because of these three modes of material nature only, it is because of the three modes of material nature only that I had to break the society into four. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. That is why you will see from now on, many verses from now, is discussing about this Varnashrama Dharma. Particularly about Varna. Ashrama, no. Varna. Varna Dharma has come from these three modes of nature. So, it is not easy to change from one to another. That is the important principle. It is not easy to change from one to another. You know, this question is going through the people's mind for a very, very long time. Should one be a Brahmana by birth or Brahmana by quality? Is it not? And this argument has gone on so long, and if you listen to many, many people, they'll give you different answers. There's no one answer to that. There's no one answer to that. Even in the Shastram, if you read, there are very intelligent people who have very learned and very advanced in spiritual life, and they insist that it has to be by birth. Even today, it has to be birth. And there are people who are a lot more liberal, who have become studied Shastram well, and who have realized some in thing in life, and who believe strongly that it should not be based on birth. These two sides. But what Krishna is going to tell us now is, in this chapter now, is he has spoken to us about that banyan tree. And he told us there what three modes of nature does. It's like the fertilizer for that. The tree grows and gets strength from the three modes. Isn't it? And in this last concluding chapter, 18th chapter, Krishna has told us that Arjuna, everything is based on the modes of nature. And so many verses, right from verse, I would say about 18, Krishna started talking about this. In relationship with jnanam, karmam, kartava, buddhi, dhriti, and finally sukham. Six things. All under three modes of nature he has spoken. After hearing this, and after you have heard what you heard on the 15th chapter, probably you may come to a conclusion inside that it's not so easy to come out of, and it is not easy. The fact is that it is not so easy to come out of these things. But breaking all these things in a way Krishna has spoken this, Krishna is saying to us now that because these are all the realities, I had to break up the society into four: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And this is particularly peculiar with Sanatana Dharma principles. Sanatana Dharma. It's not in any other. All other religions are throwing mud at Sanatana Dharma, saying that, oh, that is how they made the propaganda. When Christianity came to India, the first propaganda they made was, they are all treating you differently. Somebody is higher, somebody is lower. In our religion, it's not like that. Everybody is equal, they said. That is how it started. That in our religion, everybody is equal. Whereas in your religion, look at this. So people who are in a lower level, who didn't have any scriptural knowledge, who were not educated on the scriptural side, they fell victimized by that. And they were naturally forced to take to the other religious processes. And it is still going on the same level. This is what happens when we are not educated in our own way of understanding Shastram properly. If you understand what Krishna is going to say in the next few verses, you won't have any problem about that. This varnam, this division, and then the other so-called historians and others, they said whole degradation, cause of degradation for Bharatavarsham is due to this caste system, they said. And when you hear them lecturing about caste system, all you can do is to stand and look at their faces. What understanding has he got about caste system? He hasn't got a clue what this is all about. He is thinking caste system is all something people have created to exploit others. That's his understanding. What can you do about it? His understanding, the so-called historian or so-called philosopher or whoever is writing his books, and there are people writing books about that also, how much damage caste system has done to India. They write, so many books are available in the market. And sometimes you will see, it is interesting to listen to this. You know this in this radio, for there is a thing called Thought for the Day. 2 or 3 minutes they talk something. And they are supposed to be highly educated people, these people who are running this program. Very smart, earning well from the BBC and all that. And they will ask him such searching questions. If somebody has to come to talk about the Sanatana Dharma part, they will ask this question all the time. About what? Caste system. How much damage caste system has done. And what do you suggest about that, about the caste system? What do you have got to say? What can you say? What can you say to them? When Krishna is telling us everything from the subtle level, and he is telling us, even these divisions I had to make in people because of this subtle aspect. Which one? Based on the vasana and gunam inside. Based on the gunam particularly, that it has come, that division has come. Brahmana is sattagunam, kshatriya is sattagunam and rajogunam. Vaishya is rajogunam and tamogunam. And shudra is tamogunam and a little bit of rajogunam. Vaishya, Rajogunam predominates, Tamogunam less. That you will see in the nature. Vaishya means always money, 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 money. Nothing else in life. How to make money? If they come into power, even spiritual institution will become a first-class business enterprise. It will turn out. There's nothing you can do about it. The vasana is there. The gunam is working. What? Gunam is the reason behind it, isn't it? And you give him a thread and tell him, you're a brahmana from... He says, oh, that's okay, but we have to make money, you know. Without making money, what's the use of all this brahmana and all? That's how he's seeing that. So, the important principle is that sattva-gunam, brahmana. Sattva-gunam mixed with rajogunam is kshatriya. Rajogunam dominating with some tamogunam is vaishya. Tamogunam dominating with a small amount of rajogunam is shudra. Shudra. So at least that much division we have to accept. Now, whether it is from birth or from other or by quality, let's leave that now for the moment. Let's only look at this way. Is this division not scientific? If you don't divide the society, you mix a man who is in sattva-gunam with a man who is in tamogunam, what sort of society will that be? Imagine that. So that is the important thing Krishna is saying here also, that Gita Shastram, Krishna is going to conclude now. Conclusion begins from here. And before concluding, Krishna wants to put across to us this principle. And for thousands of years, there was no enmity with Brahmanas and Shudras, or Kshatriyas and Brahmanas. It must never be like that, because they were spiritually educated then. They knew their position in the society. Nobody felt uneasy about a Brahmana if he had that, these qualifications what Krishna spoke, particularly that Sattva-gunam. Therefore, Sattva-gunam controlled the society. Brahmanas controlled the society means Sattva-gunam controls the society. Even Kshatriyas took instructions from the Brahmana. Why? Because he knew otherwise Kshatriya will overstep. He won't stay within the limits of Dharma. So therefore, to keep that Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra all in their respective positions, that Sattva-gunam in the Brahmana can alone do that. Nobody else can do that. That was their role to play. That's what they played. And there was no uneasiness about that. In the modern world, of course, all this has changed. We don't believe in the Varnam. We don't believe in the Ashramam. And we don't accept any kind of division. We enjoy one thing, to say that everybody is equal. Everybody is equal all the time. And only then we feel that we have done the justice to this world. No, we have not done any justice to this world. And it is the result of that we are suffering like this in the modern world due to this. That because there is no Sattva-gunam in the top, in the higher level, therefore their Rajogunam, and we are controlled by these so-called leaders and their Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That is what is controlling our life in this world today. And we have to pay the high price for it. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.